Our name is the RRR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Season 6, episode 23.
Edisons of Anarchy.
Oh my god.
You'd think it was because of Edison, but it's really because of Anarchy was an arrow this week.
I have to spell it like his Anarchy, too.
Fun fact, I came up with the title 30 seconds before the call. I had a hard time this week.
Edison!
Couldn't remember what a ninja was about. I almost went with Black in the Saddle, but that seemed really racist.
We already had a Back in the Saddle reference.
I know, that's also... Anyway. That was the second thing, but...
You're just the worst.
Why
awesome.
Chase was getting back in it, but I did. Oh no. That's my You're trash, mate.
Shout out to George's summary things.
Should go read it every week. We'll link it in the podcast, and by we, I mean Brian. I have no powers.
And I make no promises because by the time I get to the end of this episode, I will have forgotten to do that. So
it's like when you put something somewhere, like, I'm going to remember where I put this, then you got to find it later. No idea.
It's my life.
Past you's intentions are just anyone's guess.
it's like when
Brian's a douchebag.
When you go to review a toy that has, like, a cyclical sound system.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, I have no idea where past me left this.
Yeah. It's a constant struggle against the past versions of ourselves. Or like playing an old video game save.
Good job, past me.
Like, all video games, mainly like RPGs, need the Pokemon Fire Red last time on your adventure. Because, like, seriously, going in there, you're like, no idea. Like, Buddha Fallout in the middle of a greenhouse full of zombies. What the hell was I doing?
I know, I loved that so much about Fire Red and Leaf Green. They told you what you did the last time you played the game. Like, oh, good.
At least in Pokemon I can sort of remember, but sometimes I'll, like, boot up an old file and I'll be, like, in the middle of the Viridian Forest with six Zigzagoons. I'm like, I have no idea what I was doing. Like, there's clearly some sort of scheme going on that I have no idea what I was a part of.
You're trying to start the Zigzagoon Revolution.
That's exactly. It's going to be a reboot of the show Revolution, but everyone is cast the Zigzagoon. Starring... Zigzagoon is Miles Matheson. Zigzagoon is Rachel. Zigzagoon is Charlie. Zigzagoon is Aaron. How do I remember all these people's names that I can't get the Dino Charge cast names?
I don't know. You're trash, mate.
Oh, man. When's that sequel comic coming?
It's been out.
Oh, well. Thanks, past me. You done it again.
We talked about how we were going to wait until it was over to read it.
Well, I'm going to go read it now, and I have to go read, like, the Kanan comic, and there's just a bunch of stuff I have to read.
Classic. Anyway, one up. I bought toys.
Seems about the same as every week.
Back is also that way, too.
Oh,
I bought toys for Kevin.
Yay!
So far, I've only bought two. I haven't found the Dimension X Turtles again yet, but I've only been to, like, two Targets, so... I'm going out again tomorrow.
So. Don't worry, guys. He's going out.
I will find them. So I got... What was it? Lord Dreg? Dredge? Dreg?
Dreg.
Dreg. Like, not Judge that Dreg. Dreg. That's something else.
That's what I hear when you speak.
It's Yoshi, no. And the Triceraton guy. I don't know these characters. I bought them, though.
I got Triceratops and Ned. I don't know.
I got this purple insect-looking guy and this dinosaur wearing a military outfit. I don't know what's happening.
Monsters, Inc.
I don't know why. I just saw something new and was like, need. I feel like there should be more stuff, but I'm looking around and I don't really see anything. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I did get a...
Whatever, man. I'm not in this.
Whatever, man. I did get a Chibi Robo Zipline, or Ziplash, or whatever the fuck it's called. It's fun.
Ziplash?
It's level select system. Oh, like Ziplash, I get it. Pissed, but...
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, it's fun. I'm gonna play it now, so someone else talk, please.
Dawson talks now, please.
I only have, like, two real points of interest, which aren't even that interesting, but... One was I did rewatch Age of Ultron, and I liked it a lot better this time. Not that I hated it before, but I had a lot more problems, and I don't know. I just liked it a lot more this time. I still think the Black Widow-Hulk romance was, like, totally random, but it was a lot more fun this time. That's just really boring. And the other thing is that I played the Battlefront beta this week, and that was pretty cool. Like, at first, it just seemed just kind of average, and then I finally played, like, the big, giant team battle mode with my friend on co-op, and it's, like, crazy, because you have, like, everyone fighting each other, and then you can pick up power-up vehicles, and, like, you can be in, like, the huge walkers, and then you can get, there's, like, TIE fighters flying over you, and, like, everything's happening at once, and you can also find, like, the Jedi ones, and my friend was so excited, it was so funny, because two people on the other teams, or one on our team, one on theirs, found the Vader and Luke ones, and he just goes, holy shit, Darth Vader and Luke are fighting each other! Like, it was just so funny that it was, like, so exciting, and so that was pretty cool. Like, that big team battle mode really sold it for me, so that's pretty awesome. And the only other funny thing about it is that, you know, Battlefront used to be mainly in third person, but, like, it defaults to first now, but you can go in third. And to do it, like, you have to press down on the D-pad and hold it, but I didn't know it was down what direction it was, and the other three directions are, like, little animated, it's, like, greetings. So, like, I would just boot up the game and I would press, like, up, and it would be like, hiya, and then, like, somebody would kill me while I'm trying to figure out how to get into third-person mode. Like, that, because, like, I looked it up online and it just said press the D-pad down, or just, like, hold the D-pad, and it didn't say, like, down or up, and so I was trying all of them out, and, like, I got killed two out of the three times when I was trying up, left, and right, and there are all these really funny greetings, so it seemed like people just really hated my friendliness. So that was pretty cool. Like, we're, like, about to hit, like, the next month or two where games just come out all the time.
Oh, my God.
it's pretty crazy this year.
Like, I was writing out a list of all the games that I want.
Stop, your hand is cold.
Yeah, don't touch me.
That's funny. It was Michael
Scofield. I'll touch you if I want to, Brian.
Sitting there with you, linked in the corner, eating yogurt and masturbating.
Those commercials still kill me.
I know. He's like, now I feel better. Link. Where's Mahone and his giant forehead, though? I haven't seen him in anything in a while. He needs to be on. Because they're doing that revival.
Wasn't he in, like, the Turtles movie? That was the last thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Because everyone's like, oh, Shredder's not Caucasian. I'm like, well, the word Asian's in there. It's fine.
Wait, what? I got distracted and confused.
When people were mad that they thought Mahone was Shredder.
I don't know what a Mahone is.
The white guy in the movie.
Oh.
There's a lot of white people, but, you know. This one's going to have airline. It's going to be cool. It's gonna, like, it's like Diggle adjacent, so pretty awesome.
I dropped DSs onto my other DS.
The exception. And then the universe exploded. That's how the Earth 2 portal was opened. Okay, so that's pretty much it for me. Just Battlefront and Avengers and working in Dreamweaver. It's like
the Dreamweaver.
I'm really upset that song doesn't play whenever you boot it up. It's really annoying.
Brian likes the dick.
Putting stuff in files, the program.
As opposed to stuffing pudding in a taxidermized Dostum.
That's Illustrator.
So it's my turn now?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's see. It's been a while since I gave Misha one up.
It's going to take a while, guys.
Let's
see. Yoga for Link.
Oh, fuck your mother. I got my ghost toys. I got Thor and Darth Maul. I got Kivala. Let's see. I should, as soon as somebody goes to the post office tomorrow, I'm going to have the Signal Bike set, Fire Mario, the playset D, Gekiatsu Dio.
The dick playset?
That's right. Mario's dick playset. Let's see. So, okay, let me address this. So, there was recently some confusion as to why the videos I uploaded on my channel didn't make sense. And that is because I had run out of videos to upload, and I wanted to keep having things, like, going up. So I was like, oh, I have these Show Us fucking figure arts just sitting on my computer. I literally don't know when I recorded them. Because I think they were all recorded as I got the figures. And then they just ended up sitting there because other stuff that was more interesting than, like, a figure art of Tackle came out to upload. And so they never got uploaded. And they just sat there and sat there. So when I say things in them, it doesn't make sense. I don't know what I said, apparently, but apparently, oh, I guess it didn't make sense when people were listening to it. Like, why is he saying these things? It doesn't work. So yeah, that's what happened there. And then, let's see, what else? Everyone in my house but me has been sick lately. That's awful. If you ever have the opportunity to be in a house with, like, a sick baby and a sick wife, don't do it. Like, just leave. Just, like, go find somewhere else to spend a few days and just wait it out. Because it's awful. Like, everyone's sick. They're all, like, coughing and sneezing and just everything. And, it's bad. It's bad.
To you, it's not bad. It's gross.
Yeah, it's gross. There's snot everywhere. It's bad. You just don't want to do it. It does 0 out of 10. Not recommended at all. So that happened, and then I go to work, right? And of course, the little kid has to show up at work because he's sick. So I have to spend all day with another sick kid, right? So I come home, sick people. I go to work, sick people. I don't get a fucking break. And then it gets even worse, right? Because he's as, like, ADD as Kaylee when it comes to watching shit. If you ever have Kaylee watch Netflix, Kaylee watches about 5 minutes of a program and then switches to another program.
Sounds like Kat's niece.
Why is Kat's niece watching things?
And then she watches, like, Yeah, and she watches something else, and then she watches that for like 10 minutes, and then watches something else, and then watches that for 10 minutes. So this kid's all, he wanted to watch. One minute he's watching Power Rangers, the next minute he's watching like Super Buddies or something like that. I don't know what the fuck Super Buddies is. But then he'll be watching like a different Power Rangers, and I'm sitting there, and I'm minding my own business, trying to leave this sick kid alone, and all of a sudden I just hear, Power Rangers, Operation Overdrive. And I'm sitting there going, oh, shit. Here we go. I gotta listen to this crap. So I'm stuck listening to Overdrive. But fortunately for me, today he got tired of that after a couple episodes and switched to SPD. So I could handle that. I'm sitting on the other side of the office, like, singing SPD to myself all day. But I'm okay with it, because it's fucking SPD. And who doesn't love SPD? You'd have to, like, not have a soul. But yeah, I'm trying to think, has anything else happened? Have I bought anything else? You know what I did? I bought the red, yellow, and blue Legacy movie figures. I found the Ice Age monster, so I have all that wave, and I found a Monkey Brains, and I found a Napoleon Bonafrog figure, finally. So that was fun. Also, if you're trying to record videos, don't have a sick child, like a sick baby, in the house. Like, if it's a sick, like, 5-year-old, you can just lock her in another room. If it's a sick infant, you can't do that.
Why not?
Because you're not supposed to do that, Brian.
Well, you use your psychic powers and throw bricks around the room.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. The nose is just running everywhere, and it's just constantly crying. And you can't get anything done. It's really hard to record a fuse with a crying baby around. But yeah, so that happened. But it's just sick kids are the worst. They sound all pitiful.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with sick kids.
No, but you just have a whole, like, horde of cats. Ryan has his own, like, herd.
Yes. I'm going to take over the world.
Ryan's going to take over the world with cats. I'll call Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers to stop you. She'll call Brian Professor Nimnal. Only two people will probably get that reference, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I don't think there's anything else I did, which probably just means that I'm going to remember as soon as this is done. I pre-ordered Yarn Yoshi Amiibos and Falco.
Oh, I pre-ordered Falco, too.
Victory. I got the light blue and the pink. Yeah, actually, those are shipped to me. I got an email from Target. Those shipped. So, I'm excited. I can have some Yarn Yoshis come to my house, and I can hug them and love them. And they will be my friends forever. So, I think that's it for one-upses. Who wants to go on to the news?
Toys! More toys. More ghost toys. We're in fucking episode 2. And we already got goddamn toys.
All these toys are debuting in episode 3. The episode 4 scans come out next week.
His final form, we'll know next week his final form.
He's going to have 3 final forms, actually. It's going to be like Super Saiyan. They're like, well, it was supposed to end here, but then they kept telling me to write more, so I just kept making more Super Saiyan. It's still happening. He thought he quit for a while, but when are they going to dub that, Chiz?
Good question.
Need to get on that.
So, we have to piece together these toy scans, because whoever, like, leaked these out onto the internet are just drunk as all shit.
They're using the They were just sitting there masturbating.
With Link.
With the yogurt.
What do you think the yogurt is?
Like, we got a picture of, like, the upper body of Spectre's Houdini jet thing. And then we got, like, the upper portion of Necrom's brace, and then, like, the lower portion in a completely different post.
Like, what are you looking at, Brian? Because I have a bunch of pictures.
The various posts on the Tumblr.
Yeah, like...
This is really loud.
I guess they can't get in trouble if they...
They can't find us if we only put an eighth of the picture on the internet.
Like, wait, it's ridiculous.
Am I alive?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Damn.
Good job, Dawson's
a hollow-eyed ghost that's trying to kill me.
Alright, so let's...
Where do we start, douche nozzle?
That's a good question. So there's a third rider, surprise, surprise, so... When we get a second rider in, like, episode 4, it's no doubt we're going to get a third one. So we got Necrom, which just makes me think of Zekrom.
I keep trying to spell it with a K, so...
Oh, yeah, it's a C, I forgot.
C? It's like Necromancer, but...
I don't think I've ever typed it out, so I haven't done that yet, but I totally would have put a K.
Well, I keep typing it out because I have
glass hurt my hand. Drinking water's hard.
No, that's my penis.
Son of a bitch.
What'd you do, though?
Oh. I can't drink out of a fucking cup.
Wait, you really was?
I was trying to take a sip of my apple cider, and I just bashed the glass in my teeth.
I was just making a joke about the drinking thing. I didn't know. That's what I heard, like a ting. I heard a really light ting and then an ow.
Oh, I'm so scared right now.
He's drinking apple cider and I'm eating an apple. Apple bros.
This is why sippy cups exist. anyway. So there's that. This guy is going to be using Grimm and Sanzo.
Grimm Avengers are Billy and Mandy for life.
Yeah. And then, so what he has is he doesn't have, like, a belt. He has
blasphemy!
Mega...
He's not a real writer.
Mega Ruroder.
You okay?
It's a brace. You put eye drops in or something like that with this brace.
What's the eye drop changer? That would be amazing. Clear eyes.
Clear eyes is awesome.
It's Bueller time.
Bueller.
Or you can get Restasis. Restasis is his rival writer. Only this podcast would make a Restasis eye-clearing joke.
Like, at first I thought it was like a record player, but apparently it's an eyedropper.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a fucking record player.
But basically you put the icon in, like, upside down or something. Mm-hmm. And then it,
the eyeball faces upward.
Yeah, it's really creepy. Like, so that happens. And then you touch it with your penis. And, but yeah, he gets Grimm and Sanzu.
Sansa Stark.
Now, there's another picture that you can find on the Ghost Tumblr, and,
if you get Ned Stark, you just die.
I'm gonna kill Dawson in a minute.
Sorry.
What I've noticed from looking at this...
A Lannister always pays his debts.
And it's something, and I kinda noticed it before when I was looking at my list. My icon list you can find on the Shuki blog. No shameless self-promotion here. Is that all of the icons for Ghost, like, that he uses are 1 through 10.
Oh, no.
Musashi, Edison, Robin Hood, Newton, Billy the Kid, 6. Who's 6, Brian?
Benkei.
Benkei.
Thank you.
Benkei, 7 is...
Not to be confused with Benkei.
Beethoven... And then Goemon, Ryoma, and Himiko.
Who composed Beethoven's 5th? Ghost.
I still don't know. I'm uncomfortable by that whole thought.
Basically, just send up Terminator movies.
Fuck off. Spectre has 11 through 13. Tutankhamun, Nobunaga, and Houdini.
Deep toot.
And Necrom has Grimm and Sanzo, 14 and 15. So, like, they're all, like, numeric, you know. Each writer shits all in numerical order, so I don't know how that's going to work. Because, I mean, it looks like the number on the icon is based on the order they find it. So, like, is he going to find 10 icons before Spectre finds one?
Poor Spectre.
Right? Like
based, I mean, on the order things coming out are, that's, like, not right. So they have to be skipping numbers somehow.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's how it looks when you're looking at it on the show. Like, Musashi, he gets it first, and he gets Edison next week. Episode, he gets Robin Hood, and that's 1, 2, 3. So
the medals.
Oh, I get it.
That song X's and O's is totally about O's. I just think about Dante every time I hear it. And Sleepy Hollow.
And his abs.
Well, obviously. He's like the Japanese Diggle.
It's about O's and Santa Claus.
You know, that's right. Wells.
Santa Claus is the X icon. You get that with a cake. Jingle bells.
Definitely not X. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oki, buy me a cake.
My birthday is right after Christmas, Oki. Buy me a cake.
I had cake for dessert tonight. This is too scary. Bing. Oh, Pokemon.
Too spooky for you?
Spooky? I have dyslexia.
I love Nidoking.
This podcast is the most random podcast of all time.
Well, that's what just evolved.
We're taking forever to go over the scans. We're describing stuff that people could just look at. And then we should just be talking about it. This is like the summaries of news.
I'm trying to figure out why Grimm and...
Sanzo?
Sanzo are, like, clear. Are all of...
It's clear eyes.
Necrom's clear.
I think so. Now, I do notice, and one thing that, because of the way Necrom's stuff works, his helmet changes shape. Like, so, like, Ghost, it's his head, and there's, like, the eye portion is what changes. On Necrom, the eye portion is the same, and it's the outer part of the helmet that's different. So when you mm-hmm. you look at the icon, the little face on it, it's the part around the middle eye that's different.
Necrom's icon in general is weird looking.
Yes, Brian likes to touch his own penis.
That's exactly what I said.
Translated, exactly. Thermion.
Loosely translated, it means I have a third eye. It's in my balls.
That's what TN says. Everyone knows that TN's balls are in his head. Charlie doesn't even have any.
I like Ghost Boost a lot.
I love Ghost Boost. Like, I love his icon.
I don't like the name. Well, Ghost Boost is kind of funny because, like, boo!
It's a little boo.
And it's like talking. The Tokon Boost icon.
God, they're just running out of... They're running out of ideas.
Toei and Bandai are running out of ideas.
That icon is flaming.
That icon's on fire!
This monkey's on fire.
Yes, maybe. Watch me whip. The joke was awful.
Watch me nay nay.
But we do get to see fucking Goemon and Ryoma.
Goemon and Ryoma
look really cool.
Yeah, Goemon and Ryoma come with the Sunglass Slasher,
mm-hmm.
Which is the weapon for Ghost Boost, and it's basically a sunglass sword. You put two icons in it, and you lower the shades.
It is a tiny stick. You shove two icons into the eyes, or the eye spaces, rather, to make the eyes, and then sockets. Close the sunglasses.
Eye success.
It's like, kind of dumb.
But at the same time, I kind of like it. Like, I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to feel feelings.
Oh, it's got a blaster mode. Everything's cool.
It does have a blaster mode. Then
the soup looking guy looks like Electrobuzz's scholar brother.
Fuck off. and then there's
the pea soup looking guy with the hat.
Sansa, or not Sansa? I mean, Goemon.
Yes, Gordon.
Oh, okay, he's yellow.
Oh, well, yes. It looks kind of like the icon looks kind of greenish.
Then there's a 3-pack of icons featuring Grimm, Sanzo, and Himiko coming out because that's how that works. And Himiko is fucking pink. I mean, like, it is, like, Shelby pink.
So sexist.
It's vagina pink.
Girls like pink, they're
Shelby
sexist.
Shelby Triceratops.
Girls like pink, it reminds them of their vaginas.
Hashtag pink taco.
Houdini's ghost icon comes with a bike.
It does. It comes with the machine hoodie.
Which is the greatest name.
That's what I call my car.
Which would be Dawson's motorcycle as the machine hoodie.
Is there good pictures of the actual form? I'm like flipping through all these tabs. No, every single one of these is chopped up. God damn it, stop drinking, you fucking scan doer, and do scans properly. He's got a hoverboard.
Like, his horns look like I can't tell if the horns get really big or if it's just because of the way the pictures are chopped up.
That's when he's excited.
I don't know. Those horns look pretty big. I can speak from experience in terms of how big things are.
He's extra horny. And, like, his bike has, like, a hoverboard mode.
I'm gonna go, go, go on my hover ride.
So, like, he can keep up with the DeLorean.
I'm so pissed. Anyway, I like Ghost Boost. Everything else I'm iffy on until I see better pictures, because...
The new forms are kind of fun. Like, the purple one's okay. He looks like Magnet Defender's cousin. Everyone's somebody's cousin in these scans.
And then for Ghost Change, Ghost Boost is GC07 in December. GC08 is Gomon and Ryoma. That's January. And then in February, you get the 09, which is Necrom, and GC10, which is Grimm and Sanzo. Nothing for Himiko and Newton yet, which lets them just do a GCPB01 because, you know, fuck everyone. Nipples. Nipple fight.
Nipple strangler.
Is that like the Scranton strangler, but with nipples?
The
like Crimson's, the nipple people. You gotta stop saying nipple so many times. Boob hats. Trying to get as many quickfire Parks and Rec references as I can.
The Tokon Boost Ghost Icon comes out in December. Necron stuff is January. The three icon set is February.
Basically, there's just no breaks ever.
Houdini and the Machine Hoodie are January. So, that pretty much covers. And then then there's a Gashapon set coming out in January, Volume 6. Is going to give us the Kamen Rider Double Icon, so...
It begins!
It begins! Dun-dun-dun!
These ones actually could be really cool, though. I like a lot of the little phrases that this belt does for the riders, so at least it's
Heard any of them.
Like, I've heard most of them, but, like, I mean, I don't know what half of them means because I can't understand half of them because it talks too fast. But
it really does.
But,
it talks faster than DOS in one of his reviews.
I gotta get stuff done. I have reruns to watch.
But I like that concept. It reminds me of how the lock seeds function, so...
Yeah, and you know, I like the toys. I'm excited. Oh, that's what I forgot to put into my 1-ups, is that I became a master hacker. I got my DS styluses up inside that Ghost Driver, and I'm like, look, I'm hacking, Kaylee, watch this. Hack away.
Oh my god, use boo. Hacks.
I couldn't get it to work.
It's actually pretty easy. I have to say a bunch of them.
Is there a button I'm missing, or...?
No, what I did is, because the styluses are long enough that I can just use them to push the button and still close the driver, that's all I do is I took two styluses and I started pushing buttons, and you just hold down the little six pins at the bottom. You pick one and you push it down, or more than one, doesn't matter. Close the driver, pull the lever. Robin Hood, and it says something about you failed the city. Probably you're Brian Dagley.
Failed the omelets is like the lighthearted version.
I love failing omelets. And now, of course, took about Kaylee goes around shooting everybody with my fucking Gongon saber. She thinks it's fun. She kept looking for it today. I'm like, no, it's in your sister's room. Go away. You can't have it. She's
no, I gave it to the baby.
Well, that's where my belts are. My belts are all in the baby's room. Not all of them, but most of them are in there still. And, but yeah, Kaylee loves ghost toys for some reason. And uses the gun to shoot people. She sat there the other day and she's like, it was 2 hours before Cordy came home. And she's like, oh, she's holding the sword. She's like, okay, let me know when mommy gets home. I'm going to make this into a gun and I'm going to kill her.
That's something you want to hear your kid say.
Like, she says that a lot, though. She does. She's always saying, like, I killed you. I shot you. You dead.
You might want to put a watch on her. Like, not like a watch, but, like, keep an eye on her.
I mean, she takes toy swords and runs them across my throat.
Your life is just 100% safe.
Kevin. It's always the lead headline under household crossbow accident claims teen.
If a week goes by and I don't get a text from you and you don't show up for the podcast, I'll just know. Kaylee finally happened.
Kaylee finally did me in. And so she...
Why you don't have kids, like, they're just tiny murderers. Can you just watch the news?
I was like, mommy doesn't come home for another couple hours, baby. She's like, seriously? like a little friggin' adult, like, oh, seriously, you gotta be kidding. I'm like,
the only reason Kaylee's not gonna become a murderer is because she's impatient.
Seriously, I have to wait here and hide for them to come home to jump out and kill them? Fuck this shit. Going home, making a taco. Like, it was pretty funny.
Good kid you got there.
But yeah, and then she goes around showing people, like, look what I can do. And like, she takes it, makes it into a gun, and then back into a sword. Like, see? Now it's a gun. Now it's a sword. Now it's this.
My name is Kaylee. I like tea parties and murder.
Pretty much. That's how she's going to take over my channel. One day, you're just going to stop seeing me. You're just going to start seeing Kaylee for every video, just mysteriously.
How's she going to know how to upload it?
She's pretty smart. She just knows things. I don't know. I'm kind of scared.
Watch her get more views.
Probably. She has girl parts, so that automatically gets you a bunch of views.
Always one too far.
Speaking of one too far, last week I was next week we'll talk about all this New York Comic Con news.
And then there was really nothing.
There was nothing.
They don't want to spoil stuff that's already been spoiled.
Yeah, like they don't want to spoil us for Supercharged, so there was no toys on display. Yeah, good job, guys.
I'm super excited about Bowser and that Hammer Brothers Lakitu playset.
You never got to talk about the Turtles.
Yeah, the Turtles. I really think that's what, like, the collection. The classic collection is dead now in favor of Figure Arts.
Which I'm fine with, because Figure Arts are a lot better than those.
Well, yeah, but so I'm hoping that I can get those, and I'm hoping they're not, like, going to be hard to get, because I don't feel like dealing with that shit. Like, that's what made Classic Collection even worse. It was, like, only at Toys R Us, and then, like, hardly ever.
Probably able to buy them on Amazon.
Like, you'd have to get there, like, right when Toys R Us put their stock out, or they were gone for, like, a month. I'm like, well, I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, being Figure Arts, they'll be on Amazon and stuff, so it shouldn't be too hard to get.
Yeah, so that'll be good.
The Falcon Zord's only $60 instead of $80.
Which is better.
Yeah, it is.
Better. We're getting better, Bandai. I don't mind $60. I think that's an alright price point.
Even if it comes out for $60, I'm sure.
Especially if you think it's $80 first, it seems better.
Yeah.
Besides, even if you if it comes out at $60, give it Toys R Us like about 3 weeks, and they'll drop it down to like $30 on sale. That's really reasonable. Shit, I'll go buy two of them.
I'm still waiting for that black and gold Megazord to go down in price.
All right,
Black Friday, here we come.
It'll be the perfect time because Black.
Never mind.
You saw this?
I don't know. Did I? Oh, yes, I did.
So I didn't. Rhinos. Just now fucking seeing it. Why didn't you fucking tell me?
Because I figured you'd seen it.
Why are there secrets between us, Brian? There should be no secrets between us. Do I not show you enough love and affection?
It's a gold rhino attached to a cart.
Yes, it is.
That's Chaser's new viral core in the Saga Break Gunner thing. It's a gold rhino.
And, of course, the $64,000 question. Do you know what that is, Brian? Do you know what that question is?
No.
What is its number?
Oh, no. We will find out.
It better have one. Or Bandai's going to get a letter. Very angry letter.
Write a letter to Bandai Japan.
That Google will translate it in Japanese for me.
Just put a picture on there and go, where is the number?
Find no number and just a picture of me with my arm folded making an angry face.
Hashtag promise number.
That's what Drive was actually all about. Was what number the...
It was all about number ordering gimmicks.
I have a problem, okay? It's like it's a really bad mental disorder with numbers.
WarGreymon's getting a pretty new figure.
Oh, fuck WarGreymon. Fuck him in the asshole.
In the movie, he's like, WarGreymon! What was his attack? Terra Nova! Terra Destroyer!
Terra Nova! Terra Nova. My attack fires and then just mysteriously gets canceled. But bits of it can become the Pink Ranger.
Bits of it.
Figure Arts Beerus is coming out in March.
Who? Beer?
It's the guy from Dragon Ball.
SH figure, it's Budweiser.
He's like a cat-looking thing.
And this Vegeta with blue hair comes out and
Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan. Oh, that's cool. I like
April.
I like Vegeta and Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan more than I do Goku. I don't know, I think it looks better.
You're supposed to call it Zigz.
Oh. I like Vegeta Zigz better.
Vegeta SIDS mode.
The fucking banner here, it's like Super Saiyan God SS, and then in parentheses it just says Super Saiyan again. Why didn't you just say it the first
time? It's so redundant.
Like, it literally says Super Saiyan God SS, and then in parentheses it says Super Saiyan. Just write out Super Saiyan again. What does this little symbol on his vest mean? I haven't watched those yet.
It's like, they got it when they were training with Beerus and the other guy. Okay. Like, they put it on Goku in his outfits. I thought it was because they were training under him, but they did it for some other reason, but yeah.
That's symbol for pussy. You're calling Vegeta a pussy. You didn't realize it, though.
I think that's it. There's Kakarot. Probably something else that I'm forgetting.
Next week, in addition to Lego Ninjago, Yoshi's gonna be on the Ninja. So it's gonna be like, and then like the green guy's just gonna be walking all over Takahashi's face.
I figured we'd talk about that during superhero time.
Spoiler alert.
You fucking whore.
Well, there's something that I have to talk about.
You fucking whore.
Why would we talk about it during superhero time?
Huh. Like, you know, when we talk about Ninja, be like, oh, hey, next week Yoshi will be on.
This week sucks, so let's talk about things that are going to happen next week when we talk about how next week sucked.
You're a whore.
Really classy.
Your mother's a whore.
So anyway.
You faggot.
Now it's time for
superhero time. Ninja.
Gonna catch him all because he's down.
Robin Ryder, go, ghost.
The hell?
Really, we're going with Scooby-Doo?
Kiefer suggested it, and I wanted to try it out.
It was like Prospector Scooby-Doo.
Though I like the concept of Ramen Rider. I could totally go for that.
It sounds delicious and cost-effective.
That would be a gimmick. That would be really
only
affordable.
17 cents.
No, I haven't had that forever. I should go buy some tomorrow. I'm gonna have to go sell myself on the street to get the money for it, though. Luckily, I sell cheap. This is gone. Why did I keep going with that?
Like, it's really good, and it shouldn't be good, because, like, the entire concept is kind of disgusting.
It is, but it's also not. I'm going to totally buy some tomorrow. This is going to happen. Next week, 1-Ups. I bought ramen. It was good.
Brought ramen. It was great.
Destroyed my body from the inside, but it was fantastic.
That's how I'm planning to do it. If you don't have preservatives or chemicals... I don't want you in my body because the preservatives are going to preserve my body so I don't look like Sarah when I die. So in case anyone wants to, you know, throw me in the pit, I'm at least presentable, you know? I fell in the pit.
So, Dawson likes to be a monkey.
That's what this episode was about. Actually, this episode was about nonsense.
So seriously, Ninja blows. I'm just going to say it.
I mean, we were bound to have a filler. I mean, we'd have at least 2 to 3 weeks of mediocre episodes, so we're bound to get to a filler at some point.
Like, don't get me wrong, I actually do kind of like the idea of them, like, jumping, like, they're combining with the Otomonin to make the Gekiatsu Daio, because, like, we've done stuff, like, kind of similar before, but not really. Where, like, you know, like, with the Magi Rangers, they became the Mecha. So, I kind of like that idea, but the rest of this stuff is just pure shit.
Q-Mon's not here, there's, like, nobody at the villain base. It's just, like, the assistant manager, and, like, that's it.
I did find it funny that they have no idea what her name is, or whatever.
The assistant manager and the manager's wife.
Pretty much. It's just, like, the villains are so bare bones.
They resurrected that call Kimemon the wrong name gag.
Like, they just don't know what the name is. I'm like, oh, like, okay.
Rush Parko. That was kind of funny.
Oh, okay, it was Romeo and Juliet thing. Got it. I couldn't remember for the life of me what this was about.
Yeah, so they did this Romeo and Juliet thing, and it was fucking terrible. Like, I mean, as soon as he whipped out the book, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what he's going to do.
That's what I think, too. When we whip out a book, I'm gone. Like, you just start to get the book out of your pocket, and I'm already halfway down the street. Fuck books.
Like,
isn't, like, this, like, the second or third time that we've done a blue defends the monster for some reason or another?
Yes.
I mean, granted, this one was completely all in act. It wasn't because of a lawnmower or something, but still.
It wasn't something serious, like a relationship between a man and his lawnmower.
Though, once again, they brought up the being an Englishman.
Oh, Lord.
Being an Englishman knows that you know Shakespeare.
Means that it is bred into you. You have to...
You're born with the knowledge of all of Shakespeare's works, which is also probably the Doctor.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe he's just an Englishman. I don't know. That was weird.
A for effort.
I know. I tried. I'm really bad at this.
It's you, McMuffin.
I've got zero good to say about this episode. I don't even have anything like zero bad to say about it. I just they don't care.
I wanted this show over.
Geki Hatsudaio's suit is really nice. I like Geki Hatsudaio's suit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say about that.
Mm-hmm.
I still like the ninja suits. They've been wasted.
If I put it on mute and just watch the battles, great.
Like, now, I can't believe they're actually, like, bringing Jiraiya into this nonsense.
Of course they would. Why wouldn't they?
For those who don't know, aka Dawson, Jiraiya...
He's a homeless man who went to Party City and stole the cheapest ninja costume possible.
Jiraiya
is a metal hero. I'm gonna let that sink in. He is the
Not even the Jiraiya from Kakuranger Ranger that's like, Jiraiya! Granted, he says it that fast because I watched it at 2x speed. But...
He's the 7th Metal Hero show. It was after Matalder. You know, after one half of VR Troopers. And
Jiraiya could have been our VR Troopers, guys. VR ninjas.
Virtual reality ninjas.
So he's showing up for some godforsaken reason because Toei has had to bring every one of their ninja characters into this show at some point. But Yoshi's going to be there, so I'm looking forward to next week just to see a cameo of Yoshi. That's how little I have to look forward to with this show, is that I'm looking forward to a cameo by one of our own.
One of us. I'm interested in seeing how big the cameo is. Like, I knew he had a part of some sort, but I have no idea.
Oh, because you just know everything, right, Brian? You just know everything. It's your Brian Dagley.
Yeah, I work with the people that set it up.
He knows the guy that can help bring Sarah back from the dead.
It's right.
I know Constantine.
There's only one Constantine. It's the one from the show, it's the one from My Morphin Life, and it's the one Brian knows. It's all the same person.
It's part of, you know, being part of the Power Farce.
Yep. Because that is a Power Force connection right there. It has nothing to do with Tokunet whatsoever.
No. I'm pretty sure Tokunet gets more done than the Power Force.
Accurate.
There's an image of people standing around talking. Oh my god, my mind's blown.
I'm sure my 9-month-old gets more done than the Power Force.
Oh my god, Power Force is the biggest joke. But anyway.
Hey, at least you get to miss out on autograph signings.
Yes, I get to miss out on autograph signings to go eat bacon.
Hashtag perks. Instead, you could have been... Kevin and I should have been eating bacon while in line to see the first guy. I would totally do that if I was going to the next one. Like, in line for Dino Charge, we just pull out bacon.
Take the bacon and throw it at Scott.
No, that's a waste of perfectly good bacon.
Make make sure it's fake bacon. Turkey. I'll make sure it's Canadian bacon.
No one.
It's not even American bacon.
It's got beady little eyes and a flapping head.
It has to be America bacon.
That's why I order my Egg McMuffins. I want Egg McMuffin with America bacon. Hashtag making.
Case in point, our Ninja discussion just evolved into a discussion about bacon.
And at this moment, I'm having a serious craving for ramen and Egg McMuffins.
These two go together perfectly.
Breakfast all day.
I want to go to JJ's Diner.
Oh, that sounds great.
No, waffle sounds good, too. I think I'm just hungry. That apple didn't hit the spot.
Well, no, it's an apple.
Well,
he's I have right. No argument.
You know what hits the spot? My dick.
So anyway, Boo Jiraiya, Yay Yoshi, Ninja.
Brian's like moving on from this. Now, okay, Kevin's whipping his dick out. It's time to move on.
Oh, I see penis. Time to go.
Well, straight for it.
So speaking of dicks.
Ghosts.
I just want to say this because I didn't get to talk about the premiere. Well, you know, yeah, it's rushed because it's a toku premiere. That's what happens. I actually kind of like Ghost. Like, the show. I don't like a side character. Side characters are fucking stupid. I like him, though. I enjoy him. I enjoyed him a little more this week because he wasn't running from the thing trying to, you know, power him up to let him fight things. Although that was kind of funny. But, yeah, I feel like that girl, she's really fucking annoying. And
can you sit Kaylee on her?
Yeah, she'll just have a tea party with her and then, like, slit her throat with a plastic sword.
Because I think that would greatly improve the show.
Yes, it would. And then that monk guy, he needs to go as well. He's fucking annoying.
The only funny part was when Takaru was talking to the grandpa guy, and he said, like, who is this? And he goes, it's me, whatever my name is. That was, like, the only funny part. But he's, like, way, way over the top.
Like, and the thing that gets me is, like, I mean, maybe I'm just missing something, but, like, yeah, I mean, the sage guy is kind of stupid, but I feel like he has more of a purpose, because at least he's telling him, he's kind of giving him hints on what icon to go to next and where to look. So, like, well, you have a purpose. So I kind of tolerate your whateverness. These other people are just here because we needed to fill the cast out.
The problem with that is, like, you really don't have to fill the cast out. Like, you don't need these characters to make a good show.
I want to know where Urasen was this episode. I just realized we didn't have him.
He was in, like, not, one scene.
We didn't have him, like, a lot. I'm kind of sad because I don't like him.
Who?
The little puppet.
Oh.
Ghost ticket.
You just said your son. I'm like, who's your son?
Kaylee.
Look, it's early days. It's going to take me to at least episode 45 to learn half their names. I only got Takaru because we've already had one.
Dear God. I like the way he, like, gets the icons and stuff. It's connected to something related to that person and whatnot. It's not just like he has to go dig up a rock somewhere and, oh, look, there's an icon hidden in this cave or something.
Personally,
like that.
I think this show would be a lot better if he had to go grave digging every time to get a new icon.
It'd be just like Supernatural.
That would be kind of fun. Exactly.
Or the End of Arrow.
Saving people, hunting things. Family business. But the iguana showed up.
Yeah, it did.
I heard that.
On point discussion. That back and forth was A+.
I
vigorously masturbated while looking at it. No, I understand.
Yeah, I did. Iguanas get me going, man. You know it.
Brian likes lizards.
There is things I like about this show. I really like the designs. I like the core concepts. And I think the base plot I'm cool with, too. not feeling any of the characters. Takeru's okay. Just because we don't know anything about him.
He's pretty generic right now.
Like, everything about the show right now is just really generic to me. But it's only episode 2.
Yeah,
so
but,
really say a whole lot yet.
Not much has happened, and all we really know is that there's bad guys looking for icons, and he's looking for icons. And that's all
and we're
that's
looking
really...
for icons. It's all connected.
Yeah, that's all we've got so far.
It's because of Coulson somehow.
Coulson's robo hand is an icon.
It is.
So, we're left with not a whole lot to actually talk about.
I'm kind of disappointed that, the show didn't have more of a, I guess for lack of a better word, spooky vibe.
Yeah.
Like I love how Kiva, especially, at the beginning, had this really good sort of, again, my articulation with words, Halloween-y vibe and with the music and the
weenie.
So they had a very weenie vibe because Wataru was like, oh, face masks. No, but it had this really good sort of spooky, very themed vibe to it that fit with this horror theme. And I was hoping Ghost was going to have that, but it's kind of more like a yokai watch. Look, ghosts are fun theme. Instead of a spooky, creepy thing.
Given how popular Yokai Watch is, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's
true. Wait, I got distracted reading something else, but what were you not surprised about?
That it doesn't, carry the whole ghost spooky thing. It's more of lighthearted, look at how fun dead people are thing.
It's more like spirits, like goofy spirits instead of ghosts. Like, when you think of ghosts, you think of,
Casper.
You don't think of Casper. You think of scary shit and things coming to get you. The shit you see on
Casper's
Supernatural.
Friends.
Casper's three uncles being dickholes.
I forgot their names, but there was a fat one, and there used to be a toy where you would press his belly and it would make smelly stuff.
Fatso, Stretch, and
Ned.
I can't remember the third one. No. I can only remember Stretch and Fatso.
Casper? No. Christina Ricci. That was the movie.
Then there was one with Jerry Duff.
Stretch, Fatso, and the normal proportion
Stinky.
Guy. That seems right for the Stinky.
Yeah.
So.
I kept thinking that was wrong. I kept thinking that was a Seven Dwarf.
Brian's having an argument in his head. Stinky. No, Brian. Stupid Brian. Thinking it's Stinky.
Stinky's one of the dwarfs,
Is there
Brian?
A Stinky dwarf?
No, I'm sure there's all of them. But...
I'm sure there's some really stinky ones, but I mean, in the mythology.
There needs to be, a second group of seven dwarfs.
The dirty one. The reject.
Pervert dwarf. Pervy. Pervy, Stinky.
Five others.
And some others, because I didn't have this joke planned well enough.
I've got a penis for you.
Sketchy. He's really suspicious, but he also likes to draw.
I get
Moldy.
It.
But yeah, I'm just kind of disappointed it didn't have that vibe. I guess now that I said it and think about it, it does make sense that they would try to capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier. They're really going more of a kind of mystical, spiritual sort of thing with ghosts instead of going with a spooky kind of thing.
And they have the historical doors. Element added
historical
into it.
Documents. So.
And then he got the Condor Denwa today. To lead into next week.
You call me on the payphone. You waste my time.
to lead into next week with Robin Hood. And now, I'm almost wondering if they got to have something more going on with this show. I mean, if it's going to go beyond February.
The 99-day thing is going to end probably around the second quarter. My guess is that the 99-day thing is probably going to end around the time he gets Ghost Boost. And then something else will happen, because They're going to get to 15 by the end of second quarter.
Like, real fucking quick. So something else has to happen.
It'll probably be the show shift.
Yeah, that'll when the show will get better or not.
And then it'll shift the toys and we'll have an entirely new toy line for third quarter.
Yes, it'll be entirely different theme.
There's still two more quarters to go, otherwise we can't even make a dollar. It's like, you know.
I hate you.
You know that's right.
Because we got these two quarters, and then the third quarter begins the segment on whether we figure out if this is a good show or not. Because apparently, toku is now a genre where the beginning of the show sucks dick.
The beginning of the show doesn't matter. The first 30 episodes are filler.
Once it hits like 25 is when you have to figure out whether it's a good show or not.
That's when they're going to make it even more about his dad.
Yes.
There's a lot of toku dads.
We planted those dead dad seeds really early on.
Oh, God.
I love dead dad seed.
Oh, God. Like, that noise was just disturbing.
That's me getting the dead dad seed. What is up with all these these toku dads? Like,
why do you say it like Bentley?
They're either,
why? I don't know.
They're either like gone somewhere, or they're dead, or you know they're missing. They've left
Superheroes
you.
Superheroes cannot hold on to their parents. They turn up missing.
Like, where's Tyra's mom?
Toku moms don't matter.
They don't.
Toku moms either do nothing or don't exist. So.
They died during childbirth.
No. If only.
They're all Lori.
Carl kills all toku moms. Coral! How far are you?
Coral. The very beginning of season 4.
Oh, nice. So, saw why Andrea was the worst?
I knew she was the worst. She has proved herself.
She was, even more the worst.
Andrea's like a dumb cunt.
And Michelle got better when she started speaking.
Yes.
As soon as she went over to Rick's camp.
She started speaking and reading comic books.
And you got to see Wolverine Shane. Because, he was doing a movie so he couldn't change his hair, but they wanted him back for that scene.
Poor Herschel.
Rick's greatest fear is simultaneously Shane and Hugh Jackman. if Hugh Jackman ever shows up on The Walking Dead, Rick's done for.
Poor Herschel.
He's still alive, jerk, for Brian.
Spoiler. He's missing a leg.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was early days, wasn't it? That was, very beginning of the prison.
That was really early.
That was oh, look at this nice prison! Oh, blimey, my leg!
Oh, blimey.
Everyone turns British when they're in distress. Everyone knows that.
I like how they found prisoners and then killed them all.
Well, Axel stayed around for a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like,
they killed most of them. The one prisoner killed the other prisoners, and then they killed him, and then most of them die.
There's a lot of killing going on.
I love killings.
Everyone's dead.
I wish that
Except
were true.
Carl.
Coral. He's gonna be around a while.
Coral's gonna be the last survivor. Coral's gonna be the last survivor.
Rick has a weird ass voice.
Who, Rick? Oh, Rick has a weird ass voice. Who, Rick? Thanks. Good job, Dawson.
Like his real voice or his both. Show voice?
Both.
Because it's funny when he speaks in British because you don't expect it. Because British guys.
It's funny when he speaks in British.
Yeah, that's a totally different language. But
Morgan's British too.
I know. All British guys that do an American accent always make us sound like we're Batman. whenever you see a male lead that's like, gotta find the drugs, gotta get the case done, where's my wife? It's like, oh, he must be British. Because, they think we all sound like Batman. Like, Hugh Laurie is like, fuck everyone in medicine. And then he's like, oh, blimey, I'm Hugh Laurie, house. Like, Jesus.
Stuart Little.
If Chris was doing a movie as an American guy, that's what he would sound like. Everyone knows that.
Stuart Little. It was funny because we were watching. We were watching it, and they had, this thing talking to the actors or something. And it was, I don't know, something happened before the show came on. And my DVR got recorded because it recognized the 3-minute program as new or something. I don't know. Fuck it. But Cordy found it weirder to hear Morgan talking as a British person than Rick. Like, is it because he's black?
I think there's so few of them. No, like, but I think
I'm used to it because we have all those black guys in Doctor Who, like Ricky Smith and
Ricky and Danny Pinkman. Jesse Pinkman.
And that's
Ricky,
that's
Mickey,
it.
Dickie, and Don.
Yeah.
I think it's weirder for me with Rick just because I hear him talk all the time and Morgan's only on every 25 episodes.
Now he's on all the time. Yeah.
For now.
Until he gets killed by Coral.
I like Morgan's getting his own pop vinyl and I'm excited.
Morgan's got a badass stick. He's like, fuck you zombies, and he just stabs people with sticks now.
Fucking Abraham gets one. It's so bright red, it's ridiculous. It's like if they just made a carrot top vinyl.
Oh.
The pop. If they made the pop of Abraham, may as well have just made like carrot top into a pop.
I was like, wanted that's a how pop of Abe Lincoln.
Hashtag carrot pop.
What are we even doing?
Is this the ghost discussion still?
Yes.
We're talking about carrot top and Abraham. Hair game's on point.
So now it's time for Daniel Chart discussions with everyone.
Carrot pop.
Yeah.
So this episode, I've read all those stupid.
Stupid. Kevin just vomited like a little bit.
And then, English.
I think here's the thing: if making fun of people stopped you from being able to use energem powers, I would never be able to use my energem powers.
Right?
Be like, Trini joke denied.
Like, in order for me to use energem powers, I have to become like the My Name Is Earl guy and just make a list and just go back and like apologizing to everyone for everything ever.
Like, there's so... I don't remember, like, any of the filler from Sentai of all time, but I guess it was the same situation in Kyuusha where they were trapped or something. But
they didn't have to apologize for making fun of someone.
Well, regardless of anything, like, there's so many different ways they could have handled that. Like, there's so many different weapons they could have used. They could have used a Megazord to just pick it up. Like, there's so many different ways they could have done it. Like, I feel like the lesson they were trying to teach would have been better if it would have been, like, he realized that he felt bad for making fun of Shelby and then wanted to get her out of there so he could apologize instead of, oh, you made fun of a band, so now your powers are cock-blocked. Like, that seemed too on the nose.
Boy bands are extra powerful.
We killed it.
Well, I mean, they block your fucking morphing powers. That's how powerful they are. They are fucking insane. Powerful.
I don't know, I thought that seemed too on the nose that, like, that would affect it. Such a small thing, like
no, it's because he knew he did a bad, and so he couldn't use his good power because he knew he did a bad.
But see, he didn't though. Like, until someone pointed it out, like when Shelby like practically burst out into tears walking out of the restaurant. He's like, "She fine, mate." Well, did you see how she almost cried? That was so funny. Want a burger? He didn't give a fuck. So.
And that's why I like him.
Yeah, I don't know. It was all over the place. I mean, the message is fine, but...
Bullying is wrong. Personally, like, I'm fine with bullying. I bully Dawson on a daily basis.
It's true.
Isn't that just like a lack of self-esteem?
I love myself. Ask my penis.
Well, he loves his
you're the same person, so if you put him down, you're putting yourself down.
I already know I'm terrible. That's not a question.
Fair point.
Whenever there's, like, a bullying episode of something, I always think about this episode of How I Met Your Mother when Lily was like, I got the whole school to call him Gasser. It got so bad, he had to move schools. And Barney just goes, kids are awesome. It always makes me think of that. Oh, classic. Miss that show. But I did find... It kind of amusing, but Ivan brought his tip out to the field to show them. I thought that
excuse
was
me.
Kind of...
He brought his tip out.
To... He's ready. You know, he's like.
Want to see what it was like back when we circumcised with Excalibur?
Oh, God. Guys, I want to show you my dollar.
That's how the Dark One dagger got made, actually.
They bring out a little tiny guillotine. And then I put your vinky in there, and then I nip the tip.
My vinky was a key! What else? Anything else happened? That we got a little...
The Dino Armor X runs off of black energy.
Yeah. You know what Kendall's thinking about. She likes her some chocolate.
Kendall's got the chocolate fever, and Dino Armor X is really in a fried chicken and watermelon.
But yet, like, the toy
fucking Dawson and his racism
comes with the Red Ranger only right now.
Yeah. So he works off of black energy. I can't get it to work with the other ones. This charger just really likes dumb black.
Once you go black, you never go back.
That was its problem, is that it got to black first, and it's like, I don't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
I don't like blue.
I don't even have to where to go back to. I don't want that strange blue, D. I'm not going to have sex with no Navi. They have sex with their ponytails. This episode is all over the place. For real. It's all connected, though, because the guy that tried to, like, kill all the Navi was in Terra Nova. So, dinosaurs.
Yeah.
There you
He's
go.
He's actually Lord Zed.
Perfect. That would actually work.
Confirmed. You heard it here, folks. Our exclusive. Sigourney Lord Zed is Rita. That guy.
Except she wasn't evil, so... Michelle Rodriguez is Scorpina. She's going to eat
Reaver
it.
Reaver could still be Rita. That'd be fine. But no, there is no Rita. We forgot to talk about that. There is no Rita. There's only Scorpina and
Oh, yeah, there's that weird rumor
people.
Where it's, like, shoehorned into the universe. But I honestly, I feel like as soon as I say I don't think it's going to happen, it'll happen. But that seems so alienating to casuals.
It does. It seems like a stretch to me.
Like, it's... Like, not a smart marketing move if they're trying to, like, market it in a similar fashion to stuff like the Transformers or Ninja Turtles movies where they're trying to capture the wider audience at the same time. Like, as much as I kind of like the PR as a shared universe, I was actually looking forward to this being a little bit of a refresh.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I forgot about that.
It's like, everyone's going to go see this movie going, oh, man, I need Morphin with the best of the thing ever. And then, like, the Dino Charge Rangers appear, and they're like, who's this shit?
Look at these people. Why is Kimberly black? I don't understand. Why is Billy taking his shirt off, and why is his hair so long?
No one knows.
Why is Zach Australian? You're trash, like... mate.
Damn it.
Sorry.
No, next week is Graphite, so that'll be fun. Oh, no, next week's Halloween, then yeah, Graphite.
It's just a clip show, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Like, they're just in a bunch of, like, ghost costumes and Kendall's in that, like, slutty-looking outfit.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
I'm totally fine with it. And they're probably just gonna, like, do clip shows. Like, if they're gonna just do clip shows for Halloween and Christmas every year, like, what's even the point? Like, oh, it's probably cost-effective. You know what's even more cost-effective? Not filming it. They don't have to pay anybody.
I think it's a Nick mandate.
Oh. Wow.
Otherwise, I don't think they would do it.
Well, see, well, then they could... Why can't they just incorporate it, then? Like, make, like, a normal episode, and you can have it taking place around that time, and make it sort of theme. Like, shows do that all the time. They'll still have, like, a normal episode, whether it's filler or plot-driven, but it happens to be taking a place during that holiday, and they'll, like, incorporate, like, a sort of holiday vibe to it, like, instead of just having them sitting around. I don't know. Just such a waste of time, especially since we know the next episode's a Ranger debut. Like, if I knew that next week was just going to be, like, this one or the last one, I'd be like, oh, whatever, but it's obnoxious.
Watch no one tune in, and then people start bitching about the ratings.
There already are again. They're like, well, this week did better than the 800th episode, but it's still not good, even though the ratings have been pretty much just low-ish for the past however many years, and we've still been getting renewed, because toy sales. The Mr. S version, not the...
PR is dead.
They're trying to kill it. They're trying to kill it with its actual reliable schedule.
Hashtag still better than TMNT. For
real. And the way Ben 10 was, or it's insane.
Or could be. It could fall into that slump again. We haven't even heard anything about that damn show.
No, I don't think it's till next year.
Yeah. Well, so. It was supposed to premiere in, like, foreign countries at the end of this year.
Yeah, that's... maybe it's, like, the opposite now, and it's, like, the end of next year in foreign countries, which seems dumb. There's America. Remember the bacon thing? America. I don't know. I just want the toys to come back.
Debt YouTube money.
Yes, exactly. I just kind of miss buying the stuff, too, though, because... that would give you more stuff to find, and I would more at least before they stopped making them, I would find Ben 10 things a lot more frequently than I would Power Rangers stuff. So, and I kind of miss the show in general.
Yeah.
Just having something else to watch. I heard a rumor that there was going to be a new Justice League cartoon.
Oh, yeah, I heard JLA.
So, that would be awesome.
Which apparently doesn't stand for Justice League of America in this cartoon, but
stands anyway. For Justice League Antarctica.
Yeah.
Obviously. That's
exactly. Everyone's just in their parkas.
It's winter themed.
Everyone is Captain Cold.
But that'd be awesome. but that is, like, promising. I mean, I don't know if it's a rumor, a confirmed rumor, or whatever, but it would be awesome to have, like, a superhero themed show, that, you know, like, cartoon that was actually good.
You would have to just make a second podcast at that point.
Pretty much. I was thinking the other day, I was like, we should just start a second podcast where we just talk about all the other shows, and the only listeners are just us, but just so we can talk about everything. I think it's just called The Conversation at that point. George and I all do a spinoff called Security Bloods, where we just talk about all of TV ever. He's like, TV from A to Z. All right. Aardvark.
Big, long discussion about Arthur.
Exactly. What a wonderful time of day.
Hey.
They changed the voice actor. Nothing beats the originals. Don't forget the Buster spinoff about his lesbian parents. Man, this episode, we are on point. So Dino Charge was just an okay filler. Hopefully next week will be better. I'm not expecting too much from the Halloween outfit except for Kendall.
Yeah, I mean, I was still entertained. I still liked it. It didn't advance, like, the plot whatsoever, so.
I always enjoy Chase and his douchey little dance away. Like, it was kind of extra douchey. He's like, oh, fuck you. Shelby, you're such a loser.
Oh, Chase.
I like the idea, though, that he said, you're not one of those crazy fans that wears t-shirts. Like, as if that's, like, a crazy thing to do. Like,
you're wearing a t-shirt, how barbaric.
Like, that just seems so funny. Like, I could see it maybe being like, oh, you got a bunch of tattoos, or, like, you're sort of some sort of cult that's trying to, like, marry him or something, but just wearing a t-shirt.
You're not one of those crazies with a t-shirt.
You're like, no.
No, I say wearing my Mario shirt.
I think the more serious issue that needs to be addressed is the 1950s radio they're listening to. It looks like part of the before footage from Fallout 4. Whenever they're in the Dino Bite, I just really miss Jungle Karma Pizza.
It reminds me a lot of that, because, like, they all left.
They need a Fran, like, for real. Can we just, like, bring Fran back?
No one was there.
I want to watch Jungle Fury Hardcore now, but I'm on Time Force. Damn it. But, like, at least they had, like, Fran and stuff to, you know, watch the place, but they just completely abandoned it. Like, they're all the employees. At least Ivan stayed behind to attend to the catch-up.
There's other employees there sometimes.
But not all the time.
But, like, apparently Kendall scheduled all of them at the same time.
And Kendall has to go too, of course, and she's got to go to the base and do her Kendall shit.
But Kendall,
put Kendall in charge of all that.
Kendall is an awful, undeveloped character.
Why do they make her call her Miss Morgan? I think she's, like, the same age as them.
I think she's only a couple years older. I think she's supposed to be 20-something in there, in, like, late teens, early 20s.
Coda's in his, like, early thousands or whatever. Ivan's in his late hundreds, you know?
Ivan's only, like, 819.
Cool. Ivan loves that cosplay. Oh, wrong Ivan. Here's a tip. Your suit looks like pee.
I just imagine the stupid blonde bitch saying that too.
Can you get me the ketchup? Like, reaches around the corner. Here's the ketchup. Couldn't you see that? That bitch. I think the real problem lies with who didn't put ketchup on the table in the first place. What else did she ask for? She's like, I want ketchup, mustard, and a pickle dipped in honey or something like weird. Like, like you're like, here's my pickle dipped in honey. She's like, blimey, who circumcised you?
Excalibur.
Dear God. It all connects back to the beginning. Alright, I think we've talked about enough of everything else.
We loop back to penises again, so it's time to move on.
It begins how, or it ends how it began.
Now it's time for ramble time.
So, what was Pokemon about this week?
Oh God! This was Adventures in Errand Running.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that one.
It was actually really good. Like, damn. Because okay, here's what happened. This is gonna be a fun conversation. So they like get to a Pokemon Center, right? And the fucking power goes out. And oh no. Clement had one of his fucking stupid inventions. He was like, I can predict the weather with my machine. And like,
hey, I can too. It's called the phone.
Like, he was just right outside the door until this fucking machine explodes, right? And so then their power goes out and they go to the, like, the generator thing. Glad I got you entertained. I can't deal with the noisemakers. It's done.
It's like right in our face. I can practically feel the air.
So, anyway. And so, like, water got on the generator thing, and it over circuit, over whatever happens to water and circuitry and stuff. Technical fine. Terms. And so, like, Clemens like, oh, I can fix this. And Nurse Joy's like, oh, okay. I'm like, so you're trusting this little fucker that just, like, made a machine explode in your doorway with your electric generators that are running the things keeping Pokemon alive.
Brilliant. Yeah, but he has glasses, so he seems smart.
He does. He seems smart. And so to power the backup generator while he fixes it, Luxray, Pikachu, and Dedenne, like, keep using electricity. And fucking Dedenne passes out in like 2 minutes. He's little Dedenne, he's just done. He just curls up. He's poor like, Dedenne. I'm tapping out.
Help me, Jesus.
He just curls up and goes to sleep. But like the main plot of the episode, that was a bulk of it actually, but the main plot of the episode is he sends Chespin to get a fuse that he needs to fix this thing. And so Chespin's, like, wearing this fucking coin purse so he can go buy this fuse. And so Bunnelby goes with him. And so the middle portion of this episode is basically just Chespin and Bunnelby have adventures.
That sounds fun.
And it's, like, all this shit happens to him. And, of course, Team Rocket pops up because they have to. And they're like, oh, well, we'll get you, Chespin and Bunnelby, and then Pikachu will come save you. We'll capture Pikachu because fuck everything. So I mean, eventually he gets the fuse and the day is saved and all that shit. Bunnelby is a great Pokemon that listens to me.
Bunnelby's amazing.
they're like getting chased by a Fearow or something. I'm like, dig, just dig, and then he dug, and I was like, hey,
this is how Pokemon works.
Nurse Joy feels comfortable sending a 10-year-old onto the roof to fix it. That is something that she decided to do.
10-year-olds are like the 21-year-olds of Pokemon.
Absolutely. I was just like, oh, I can go on the roof and fix it, and then he almost dies like 3 times.
Nurse Joy don't care.
No, it was 100% filler. It was, like, the entire concept of the episode was really absolutely stupid, but for whatever reason, I enjoyed it because Chespin and Bunnelby made it.
I need to go watch it on demand, because, like, if I miss an episode now, it's just like, come on.
I knew there was no way I could hate an episode called Adventures in Errand Running.
It's really funny errands. That it sort of sums up all filler episodes of Pokemon.
It really does. I was like, there's no way that this can be a bad episode. I mean, this title is just a master. This title sums up what Pokemon has become.
Pretty much.
It also accurately describes playing Donkey Kong 64.
Just collectibles, the game. It's like you need a chart to figure out all the collectibles, and then there's ghost collectibles you can't even get because you gotta go get the different character. I was like, oh my god. So much of it. But at least you have a coconut bazooka, and that's all that matters.
Yep. I like the peanut popper, but...
Such a funny name. Okay.
I still get the DK rap stuck in my head, but that's a completely different conversation.
It's finally... DK. Damn it, now it's stuck in my head.
Like, I was taking a shit, and I just started singing the DK rap, like, out of fucking nowhere.
Like, Cat just walks in the house, just hears you beatboxing, like, jamming in the bathroom. Donkey Kong. Like, what is going on in there?
Walnuts, peanuts, pineapple smells.
Laying down some fat beats. Oh, man, that's really good.
Oh, fuck, man. Anyway,
Okay, what is chronologically next? There's no turtles. Shield, I guess? Is that chronologically next? Cause I feel like I'm forgetting. Yeah, was Doctor Who? Would that count as next?
Doctor Who's technically next.
Okay, Doctor Who then, okay. I feel like I knew there was something in the middle. So,
can we pause for a quick sec?
Yeah, sure.
One, I really need water, and two, I really need to urinate.
Okay. I'll be right back. Two opposite ideas. Okay. Now you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Doctor Who. I really enjoyed this two-parter. I thought it was a lot of fun. This episode was a lot of fun. Yeah, I liked that's it. That's it. All right, now on to Shield.
Whatever.
This episode's okay. We'll just do, like, one word of each episode.
This episode highlighted a lot of what I really like about Capaldi. Like
the note cards?
Yeah. The note cards were my favorite.
That was the best. Like, in IGN's review, they, like, highlighted a few of them, like, that they went by really fast. And, like, one of my favorites was one that said something like, I understand that it was hard to not get kidnapped, or something like that. Like, it was perfect. I love that about his doctor, that he's kind of callous and doesn't understand things. Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing else. Whatever. Cheers. The plot in general I thought was really fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those things where I really didn't know what the hell was going on. And there really wasn't a whole lot of clues as to what the hell was going on until then. And I love how this highlighted, like, the whole concept of paradoxes.
Yeah, I loved that. Like, that was so unexpected way to open the second episode, and, like, it basically described, like, the bootstrap paradox is, like, perfect for, like, Terminator, because it's, like, John Connor sends back his own dad, and if he didn't do that, he wouldn't be born. So it's, like, that's exactly how that works, and that's how this worked, and I like how it's just, the explanation is, like, it's just happened in time so long in this loop that you'll never really know what came first.
When did I get the idea?
Exactly, and that's one of those, like, weebly-wobbly, timey-wimey things. And I love that he told the story with the guitar and then did a rock version of the theme.
That was really cool. I like that.
Yeah, that was just neat. I actually forgot about that till a second ago, the way they opened up the second episode like that, and that was really neat. I like that they addressed that, and the whole, like, the ghost thing was interesting, too, just because Doctor Who has done things like that before where they sort of dive into the possibility of, like, something that's non-scientific, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it's always interesting to see how they end up explaining it. And in this case, it was, like, a sort of actual ghost. It was, like, just ripped apart to become a message for this giant-ass skull-looking thing. Which was actually, like... It looked kind of goofy, but at the same time, it looked pretty menacing.
It did. Like, I liked it a lot. Good. Like, I'm like, you could be in, like, PR and be cool. So.
Pretty much. Like, the only time it looked kind of goofy was when it walked outside. I think just because, like, just this big thing, like, lumbering across, like... but it was a pretty ominous-looking design, and...
the guy that the first dead guy, like when we met him actually in person, he was creeping me out. He's like a little weasel.
Yes. All he could stare at was his teeth.
I just kept looking
at his teeth, going, "God, you're weird."
He reminded me, like, with the teeth of Scabbers, whatever his name was when he became a human in Harry Potter, because he always had those like rat teeth afterwards. Peter Pettigrew, there we go. And like it's funny when that ghost first appeared, because it's like the first ghost you see, and he's like in a top hat. It looks like an Abe Lincoln wannabe. Like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, because we're in this.
He looked like something out of the Great Intelligence.
Exactly. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. But like, it was just so like such a stark contrast, because they're in this sort of future like city. Not I guess it is the city's under there, but like this future like water station, whatever you'd call it. And then there's the spaceships all, you know, spacey wazy. And then you have this, like, weird top hat guy. So, like, it didn't really fit. So that was, like, it was kind of neat to actually see where he came from, even though his, like, attire still is kind of weird. I like these episodes, too, where they have, like, a group of people you spend a little bit longer with, so you kind of like them in certain ways. I liked the girl that died before, whether it was watching, the one that was, like, a fan that, yeah, like, secretly geeked out.
I think was her
name. Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. It could be right, but like I like how she sort of played it cool, and like when he walked away, she was like, "It's bigger on the inside. It's bigger on the inside." And I liked her before she died, and after she died, she was just a bore. But it's kind of like
just walking around, mouthing things. I don't know. Her character really went to shit.
The writing for all these characters is terrible when they lost their eyeballs. And like it's kind of like one of my favorite episodes from last series was Time Heist, and I like the crew of people they were with. It was like two people. Like I like episodes like that where I actually sort of like the side characters. The dog is like represent.
Cat's singing, and so Zeus has to sing too. So that's our background track now.
Pretty much.
We went from the occasional Cordy noise to Kevin snoring. To Zeus singing, so.
Dear Lord.
We'll just keep going.
I'm trying to think what other points I wanted to make. Dear God, the dog is not helping my train of thought. Like, every time I start thinking, I just hear this little. It's such a puppy bark.
Well, he's a tiny dog. What else?
It's true. What else? Doctor Who and barking and ghosts and I was gonna ask, like, so was he asleep in that thing for like years, that coffin?
Yeah.
Jesus. I guess the doctor doesn't really have to. Then why didn't? I guess it does preserve him. I was like, why didn't he age? Because like when Matt Smith was like. On Trenzalore Forever, he got all old, but I guess it preserved him. So that was a hell of a long game. Because that was an interesting thing to get out of, too, because there's been multiple situations like that as well where it seems like something's fixed and he has to change it. And this is like, what is the next episode the Doctor going to be guaranteed to die as well? This is like, it's the fourth episode, but I guess like the second storyline in this season, the Doctor was like guaranteed to die.
That's just the theme. This series is just
death.
Him always dying.
And I didn't even think about his ghost actually being a hologram. I totally forgot they used that chirogram earlier.
Yeah, it didn't even cross my mind. I felt like such a fucking idiot. I'm like, he can't die. Like, I know he's not dead.
We still have a whole series. Plus, if the Doctor just dies in general, we won't even have a next series, and the show is still pretty popular.
They brought up the Minister of War, and he didn't know what was going on. He's like, wait, no, I'll get to it.
Oh yeah, spoilers. Because he was bringing up stuff that she was like a reference machine. She was like naming off companions and events that had happened, like the Harold Sachs
Martha,
and stuff.
I'm like, ah, Martha.
The rebound companion. And you know, don't forget Jack, who's off in Nana Parbat. And, like, the Harold Saxon stuff back when Missy was not as fun.
I feel like I had more to say, but honestly, I just really enjoyed it as a two-parter. I thought it was a compelling mystery, and there was some really good humor in it. And like you said, there was some really great, like, Capaldi moments, which is why I love his as a doctor. And, like, I loved the opening and closing narrative about Beethoven's Fifth. I thought that was really neat, especially for the show. And, like, I think he's really settled into this really good persona. Like, I love, like I said, his callousness, and I like things that hint at, like, they hinted that he may have let that girl die to test the theory, kind of like last year when they alluded to that he might have let that whole train of people die and stuff like that. But, like, they won't come right out and say it. Mm-hmm. And I like that he has that edge to him, but, like, he's also got this sort of, I think this year he's even found more of his fun side with stuff like the glasses and the guitar and stuff like that, I think.
I love his entire wardrobe this series. Like,
yeah,
like the, like, stylish jacket with, like, a fucking hoodie.
Yeah, he's got a hoodie. How could you not love it? Yeah, he's been really great this year. Like, I love how distinct his doctor is. It's just, it's really great. I definitely hope he continues on for a while.
He entered in the, like, straight up don't give a shit doctor.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I love about it. Like, I may have even mentioned this last week, but I was having a conversation with somebody about it. Like, 10 and 11 were definitely distinct from each other in a way, but they're also sort of along the same wavelength. And so, but 12 is such a nice difference, like, between them, instead of having, like, because I like 10 and 11, and 11's my favorite, and, but there's just something so different about 12 that I think really brought something special to it from, like, what we're used to. And next week they're heading out to Winterfell.
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
The great Doctor Who Game of Thrones crossover.
Pretty much.
Because it's not like half the Game of Thrones cast hasn't been on Doctor Who in some fashion.
Or like Harry Potter people, or like Shaun of the Dead. You know, British people. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, like we talked about last week, I think it's really neat that the entire season in general is two-parters. I think it makes for some better storytelling.
Yeah, it makes for discussing absolutely hard, but it makes for a lot better stories, I think.
This is a setup episode. Although, like, they all tied together, but they were definitely distinct narrative-wise, like, the way things moved about, especially since the second one opened up with that cold open with him. Not cold open, but, like, that fourth wall breaking open. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how the next ones differentiate from each other. Alright, so now, chronologically, S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yes.
This episode was pretty decent. I feel like there wasn't a whole lot monumental. It was kind of a lot of little things.
Yeah, definitely.
Lincoln is not the yogurt Lincoln, but electric.
He's getting
Lincoln.
There.
He's basically getting fucked over. When he was on the run, I don't know what the purpose of him, like, lighting up that power line was, other than just to look cool. Like,
look at what I can do. I, like, made a curtain.
And the guys are like, oh fuck, we better step off.
We better step off. He can make electrical spark curtains.
Like, he was basically just showing off the whole episode. He's like, check it out, bus people. Could light up these poles. That sounded... Nope. So basically, he's got screwed over, and he killed his sponsor by electrocuting his bat, and he just couldn't take the heat. Like, I sort of get why he feels guilty, but not, like... He didn't intentionally kill him. He just was like... He basically gave him a heart attack. And you had stuff like Coulson is teaming up with these Sector 7 people or whatever they're called.
He's teaming up with Strongarm.
And what else?
Like, I can't not hear it. And it bothers the piss out of me. Every time she talks, I'm like, she's just going to whine to Bumblebee about something.
And Gemma is like, she has Stockholm Syndrome with the planet, and she wants to go back. I feel like there's somebody there maybe she met, and maybe that's why she wants to go back or something.
Maybe, I hope so. Like, I hope it's that, and not, like, this, like, stupid, like, oh, I need to kill the thing chasing me, or my earring, or
I lost my earring. That's what it's gonna be. It was an important earring. Poor Fitz goes through all this trouble with the dinner, and she just wants to go back to Sand Planet. Maybe here she has to go back for Bear Grylls. He was filming his latest episode there. I'm Bear Grylls, and I'm going to show you how to survive on an alien planet. Just drink your own piss. And you'll be fine.
I'll show you how to turn this sand into a cheeseburger.
Just kill this alien, and it's good to eat raw. So yeah, that should be interesting. Like, I knew they were going to be addressing it. I was thinking they were going to do more flashbacks, which they still could do, but I'm definitely curious as to why she wants to go back, but I have a feeling that there might have been someone there with her that she, like, either needs to save or something. What else is everyone else doing? Max playing Halo. You know how he do. Oh, and Hunter is, like, in the fighting games to meet Ward.
You entered Fight Club.
Pretty much.
To go find Ward.
And May is, like, beating up large men. As you know, May does that, like, every week, so it's no big deal. Like, I know, obviously, May would draw attention, because Ward definitely knows who she is, but wouldn't he know who Hunter is also? Because he, like, he literally set a trap for Bobby so that it would shoot him. So he knows who he is, too. I mean, unless, I guess, the plan is to just arrange a meeting, and then he's like, oh, gotcha, and then he shoots him.
Maybe. I don't know what their plan is.
I don't know either. They just get revenge, I guess. But it's, like, an interesting sort of structure, I guess, because everyone seems sort of separated in a way, because it seems like it's just May, Coulson, and Mac, basically, and then Bobby's, you know, doing her knee training, and you got Gemma stuff going on, and then the adventures of May and Hunter.
Like, it was a lot of little things, but it was a lot of fun little things.
Oh, yeah, I think. It was an enjoyable episode. It wasn't kind of like, you know, kind of like last week was, I guess, moved at a similar pace, but then you had, like, the big impactful moment at the end with finding Gemma and stuff. So yeah. This was kind of more, like, setting up pieces of storylines and stuff like that. Like, basically, the entire world is turned into the racist people from Real Shield against alien people. Which, it's weird because obviously we're leading towards Civil War. So, like, the whole universe, this stuff makes sense. And, like, the dangers of everything happening, it makes sense why people are squeamish. But at the same time, like, in this world where the Avengers have been a thing, even before they were Avengers for years, it still seems so weird that people will be weirded out by people with powers.
Yeah.
I feel like I said people just so many times in that sense.
People.
But, yeah, it definitely seems kind of strange in that respect. Especially, like, even more so last year with Real Shield, because they, like, directly were dealing with all that type of stuff. But I think that with this storyline, though, it's definitely going to be interesting come May or April, whenever Civil War comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Since, like, it's definitely a storyline that can directly tie into it.
Yeah, I think that sure. The tie-ins this year are going to be really good, I think.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice if it alternates between stuff like Winter Soldier and possibly this, where it's a bigger deal, and then little small stuff like Ultrons, which, speaking of, like, rewatching it was, like, way cool to, like, watch it knowing that came from Coulson.
Yeah.
People need to find out he's alive, though, for real. Like, can he just, like, send a telegram, you know, just send a text message, like, you know, just send a text to Cap, hit me up. Hit me with them digits, Coulson back on the town. Like, that's how he's gonna do it. You know how Coulson does it.
Coulson back on the town.
That's how he just needs to handle it.
That is absolutely what needs to happen.
But yeah, it was a good episode.
I liked it.
The all-purpose Kevin review. But speaking of good episodes, or, like, I thought really good episodes, Flash was really good this week.
Oh, my God.
Brian just, like, had a really weird old man orgasm. It was so good. Like, I love... Oh, God, no, stop. Like, I love how quickly Flash dives into things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in general...
Don't waste no fucking time.
Well, exactly. Like, in general, I was impressed last year with how fast they dove into the time travel and all of the sort of Reverse Flash mythology stuff, because they could have very easily done a lot of Case of the Week stuff for, like, the majority of the season and then just started to scratch the surface of the Reverse Flash stuff, but they dove into it very quickly. And the same thing here, like, episode 2, we have Jay Garrick
coming in and starting to explain the multiverse and actually getting to see Zoom speak. And, like, we dove, like, right into it, episode two.
Yeah.
And Barry was, like, totally being the B to Apartment 23 for him. He was, like, totally racist against J people. You know how Gay Jarek does it?
I don't trust you, man.
Like, because Wells was a speedster, and all speedsters except me are assholes. No, but I kind of get it.
No, I understand. I think he was a little bit over the top, but yeah. I completely understand where he's coming from in that situation. Like, it when the person that you trusted most and idolized most just turns out to be a total fuckstick and then kills your mom and then tries to kill you and everyone you love and the world... You kind of get trust issues after
that. Yeah, exactly. Especially since, like, this other person that's trying to get you to trust him also, like, enters with similar circumstances. He's from not another time, but another world, and he's a speedster, so you don't know. I mean, there's obviously this whole, like, speedster world that Barry's just starting to become a part of. So, like, you know, it's good to be cautious about it. Like, it went on a bit too long, maybe, but it's he was definitely in the right there, at the beginning at least, and... I thought they did a really good job with Jay Garrick. I really liked him. I thought he fit in well. That's how you don't bring in, like, an old guy hobbling in an old football uniform. I like how they sort of, not honestly, I updated him, I guess you could, but, like, made it seem more plausible, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, instead of going the route of, like, oh, Jay Garrick's an original Flash, he's old, they went with the... how old Jay Garrick would be, like, in his prime in his world instead of going, like, a veteran route. Like, he was only Flash for 2 years.
Yeah, pretty much, like, just a year longer than ours. And, like, I like how they managed to like, make it modern while still evoking the way the original looked and everything, right? Instead of going, like... one way or the other, and
the
like
hat,
I
the hat still makes me chuckle.
Yeah, it is funny. Like, that's a terrible identity concealment. Like, Superman wears no hat, and it's better. Like, the hat makes it worse.
I dig his suit though.
I love the part about the War of the Americas, and Cisco's like, "Did you just say the War of the Americas?" Oh, Cisco. And I do like the aesthetic of when they showed Earth 2, like, just like the tint of it, and like it's like this weird like. Modern / old timey look. It kind of reminds me of like the city from Bioshock Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of neat, the way that is shown.
Tom Cavanaugh doesn't have to run around in a wheelchair anymore.
Pretty much. Oh, that must be like awesome because you just get to sit down all the time.
He gets all the good parking space.
Exactly. I have to walk. They get to roll. Tell me how that's fair. But it's funny that there's a chance that, like, this Dr. Wells may very well be a good guy, but his intro's, like, kind of creepy.
I know. Like, it makes you not trust him again.
I want to eat your fingers. Like, he's practically just so creepy. Like, I'm not sure what direction they'll go with him. I do kind of hope he ends up being more of an ally, just because I think if he was bad, it would be too predictable.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to do anything bad with him just yet, if any.
Like, if they made him Zoom, that would be way too predictable. Like, every season, like, Tom Cavanaugh is a different speedster. That would be hilarious. But, yeah, because if they, like, went the route of, like, oh, he's a good guy, and then Barry finally learns to trust him, and then he's like, lol, I'm Zoom. That would be so predictable, or even if he wasn't Zoom and he was just bad, I think it would be better.
I don't think I could handle that. Like, it would just be too repetitive.
Yeah, for sure. And it'll be interesting to see, because he's like a main cast member, how that comes into play interaction-wise, and also, because I still assume, I don't know how long it'll be. It could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 2 years into the show. I know they're going to bring back Dr. Wells. And, like, I'm curious now that if we have other Tom Cavanaugh or Tom Cavanaughs, like, will they...
Cavanaugh.
You know, Tom Cavanaugh just running around like a bunch of geese.
Turn honking.
Like,
people start tossing him bread.
Dear God. Now I just can't picture Tom Cavanaugh not being like that. In his reverse Flash outfit, just, you know, running like... more duckish, but...
No, we just can't not imagine Tom Cavanaugh as a goose.
That's the big bad for season 3, is Goose Tom Cavanaugh. But, like, if they have this other version or potentially even another version by the time he comes back, like, if Reverse Flash comes back, will we see him as Kavanaugh or will it be the other dude? Because, like, he transformed back into the other dude right before he disappeared.
If we see Eobard again, it's going to be the other dude.
Yeah, well,
I'm
yeah.
I'm pretty like, sure they've like, already said that.
Well, like, in flashbacks or, like, if we see him at all?
Well, I mean, it depends.
Oh.
Like, I mean, if it's a flashback from after he... skin well. Morphed.
Oh well, yeah, he skinned him. Like he just took all the skin and like plasters it over him.
I don't know what you want to talk about it, but I mean, if it's a flashback from Earth One, then yeah, it'll probably be Tom Kavanaugh. Well,
like if he comes back in real time, it would be the blonde guy.
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
Like, because that makes sense. But like on the other hand, I love Tom Kavanaugh as Eobard, just because, like, the chemistry was there so well, and, like, the way he played it was perfect. So, I think that'll be interesting, because
Tom Kavanaugh's amazing.
Well, it's not like this other guy's terrible, but he really hasn't interacted with anybody.
Yeah, we don't know a whole lot, because we've only seen him in a couple scenes, so.
Yeah, like, because like, ideally for me, when Reverse Flash comes back, I'd like to see him be Tom Kavanaugh, like, in real time, but I'd love to see, like, the other dude in, like, some Reverse Flash flashback / flash forwards, like if we get his backstory and stuff, because there's still so much unanswered there. That's what's interesting, is that like Zoom right now is the focus of this season's Big Bad right now, but and things were semi-resolved with Reverse Flash, but there's still so many questions about that, which I think is what's great, is that I have all these questions running around in my head about last season, but then there's so many questions running around this season as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Side note, like stepping away from like the speedster and time travel stuff, I really like Patty Spivot.
She's great.
I know, she's like awesome. I think I found one of my latest crushes. But she really fit in well, and she had like a distinct personality, like a better way to say it. She's kind of like a Felicity, but like her own. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she's not like a Felicity. She's not copy. Super smart or anything, but like, yeah. She's just really talented.
She's like that character that kind of comes in and stands out personality wise, kind of like Felicity did. So I think she's going to be a fun addition.
Her chemistry with Barry is really nice.
Yeah, like they're super nerdy together. So I think she's going to be a fun addition this year to see her. Interact with Barry and interact with Joe and stuff like that. And speaking of Joe, his lesbian wife's back. You know, haircuts don't lie. So I don't know about that. Like, I'm not really that interested in that.
Joseph.
And he's like, oh, fuck. This bitch. Don't you know Blary only... Blary? Blary only needs a black dad. Like, I kind of...
I'm the black dad he needs and wants.
I know you're trying to have the haircut to be the black dad, but come on. But I don't know. I'm not too interested in that storyline at the moment of, you know, her coming back. I kind of hope, unless it becomes something super interesting like she's Zoom. I hope it doesn't last that long. Just because there's so much else interesting going on, it just like seems kind of like boring stuff. There really was a lot in this episode. Like, it's funny when you certain episodes like Dino Charge, and you're like, oh, there really wasn't much to talk about. But this one, there's so much happened. Like, you have Jay Garrick. We learned about Zoom. You have Tom Kavanaugh coming back. And you have Patty Spivot's introduction. And then you have Cisco's having more vibes.
Yeah.
Which is like...
I get a vibe.
Like, this one, he was having, like, visions of stuff that already happened, whereas the last ones before this had always been... what was that guy's name from last week? Atomic Smasher? Atom Smasher?
Atom Smasher.
Was his vision of him something that already happened, or was it a side flash sideways?
It was something that already happened, I think. I would have to look again, I don't remember.
Because, like, the way I interpreted it was, like, a flash sideways, but, like, last year he was definitely having flash sideways to the other timeline, so... I thought it was just flash sideways that he can do, but I guess it's, like, all kinds of ways he can do stuff. So, like, that's an interesting development that's going on, and Professor Stein's noticing. And
dying.
You know? Yeah, he's busy. He's heartbroken over. He's missing Ronnie even more than Kalen is.
Not literally. Not doing that anytime soon. Tear.
Let me just bring down the room for a minute.
I think he misses Bronny more. Caitlin's ready to jump on that Jay Garrick D. And dang, a lot really did happen in this episode. And,
can like, we call it coupling Jaitlin?
Yes. What else was I going to say? I really like, it's basically just a blurry look, but I like the look of what they do with Zoom. Kind of like with Reverse Flash, I think the whole having them vibrate from the speed really adds to their presence.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoom's definitely a lot, like, creepier. It's like a vibrating scarecrow.
He does, because his face is, like, very plain. Like, the mask is just always vibrating and always just very, very plain. It's just like, here's eyes, here's menacing mouth-ish area, and oh, he's gonna stab you now.
And so, yeah, he's very, very creepy. And, like, I was reading, because I still am, like, just, you know, like, base knowledge of various speedsters. Like, there's so much Flash research, and it's all super confusing. But, like, when I was reading one of the reviews, they were saying it seems like he's sort of a mix of Zoom and apparently, like, Black Flash, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which I think I've seen a picture of, which sort of fits that creepy-ish vibe. So that's what's really interesting. It's kind of like how Reverse Flash was like this amalgam of all these different versions. I think Zoom will be that as well. And like, it's unclear whether he's actually from Earth 2. I get a feeling he's from a different one.
He could be, because the way that they described it, it was like he wants to be the
best speedster.
The best speedster, and he'll go to all the worlds to try to...
He wants to be the very best. like no one ever was.
So I think it could end up to where he's not from Earth 2.
Yeah, I get a feeling. Earth
12.
Exactly. 12, exactly. But yeah, that's definitely the sort of the feel I got from it. And like, that's what I really like about Flash is like, time travel... And, like, alternate worlds are, like, two of my favorite storytelling things. So it's, like, and Flash has both.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's just hitting all these strong points for me. Like, so I'm just really enjoying it. Like, every episode has me, like laughing and just, like, thinking about things. It's just, like, everything in one episode is just so good.
Yeah, it's... That's why I shouldn't type when I'm trying to talk.
Just typed Earth 12.
That'd be weird. what was I saying? I don't know. My multiple thought patterns just.
We're talking about how
together.
Good the Flash is.
I can easily say it's probably my favorite show on.
I think it's easily the best superhero show right now for sure.
Absolutely.
Like, it just, it hits so many, so many...
Arrow is still good. I still really like Arrow. I like S.H.I.E.L.D. But Flash just does magical, magical things.
It really does. Like, it's just, like, on top of it, like, balancing all the tones and everything right, just, like I said, I love those two types of storylines of time travel and alternate universe stuff. And I think that's going to be really cool when we open it up with Legends of Tomorrow and stuff. And now that we've opened up, like, the multiverse, how we might make use of that just all across the board with all these shows. So, that's going to be neat.
The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, all these little tiny crossover things, is going to get really fun.
Oh, I loved the little, when they watched Ollie's broadcast.
Yeah.
About the Green Arrow and
I hate it when they add colors to them.
Yeah, that was funny. Like, I like little things like that because I don't think it's, like, extraneous or, like, trying too much to be, like, a fapping thing. It's just, it does a great job of, it makes you feel like when you watch both shows, you're just, like, watching this huge, one huge universe. Like, little mentions and little, like, signs that it's all part of one thing, which the Vampire Diaries in the original sorely misses. So I think that's really neat. Which makes a lot of sense, because that's the way the comics will do it, and that's the way, like, the Marvel movies do it as well.
Mm.
Even just, like, in little things like Loki turning into Captain America in Thor 2. It's, like, one of the two fun parts about Thor 2. That and when he hung his hammer up on the coat rack. The rest of it was just boring. but, yeah. So, Arrow? Wait, yeah, that's right. Arrow?
Yeah.
That makes sense to talk about it back-to-back. I was thinking iZombie, but like, it's better to talk about Flareon back to back.
Yeah.
Arrow, it was a decent episode this week. I wouldn't say it, like, knocked it out of the park or anything. I think it kind of got some gears turning in terms of storylines. Like Thea, she's just, her midriff has been caged so long. She's like freaking out. She's tweaking. She needs that
crazy.
That was perfect. She needs that sweet midriff breeze in order to mellow out.
She's fucking going nuts.
She lost it. She was like monkey tackling all of her. She's like,
she was channeling her inner Lincoln.
She was like crazy. She just had some of that yogurt. And what's funny is, I always talk about the review, but I was reading, I actually just glanced at it, but IGN's review was like, man, Thea's story is dragging. I'm like, bro, it's episode 2. And like, they accelerated it. So, like, I didn't expect him to go this fast either with the Nana Parbot stuff. I thought it was going to be at least an episode or two. So, like, I'm glad that they're addressing it, just because there was a lot going on, sure, after it happened, but they pretty much glossed over the made you different thing after it happened, with the exception of when she was like freaking out when she just jumped out of the pit.
Yeah. She was channeling her in her horror movie.
Pretty much. And then she was like, oh, I'm fine now. But I like that they're sort of, you know, sure. I mean, it's almost going a bit fast in one way.
Yeah, I didn't think it was really slow. I mean, if you factor in last season, I guess you could say it's slow, but that's kind of like the point.
Yeah.
Is that it was supposed to appear that she was okay.
And not to mention, like, she's been fighting for, like, 6 months, so it's not like this is her second day out in the field and she's going crazy. So, like, if you think about it like that, it works, and it's not like she's all of a sudden happening like this. And so, this stuff in general and, like, her enjoying being in the field is just a lot more fun than old Thea from, like, season one. But they got the gears turning on that right down to, like, okay, so Laurel is hearing how Thea died for maybe a second and was brought back, and she's lost it. So then in her little Laurel brain, she's like, you know what would be a great idea? If we take my sister that's been dead for almost a year and put her in the pit, I'm pretty sure that wouldn't have any negative consequences. Like, don't get me wrong. I want Sarah back too, but it's like...
Yeah, it's been over a year at this point.
Yeah, because she died in the premiere last year.
So, like... I don't know how one would think that this is a good idea.
Like, honestly, what I thought was... I mean, I've read a few things, and I read that Laurel was going to be involved in the decision. But, like, based on the way the story was moving, I honestly thought that, like, Laurel was going to take Thea to Nana Parbat to help her. And then when she got there, maybe find out that Nyssa was planning on using the pit to bring Sarah back.
That would make sense, I mean...
So, that's what I thought was going to happen, just because... Like, I totally get Laurel missing Sarah and seeing this as an opportunity, but just based on the fact that she's just finding out about the consequences of what's going on with Thea, that she would think it's a good idea. That rhymed. It's a great idea.
Thea was only dead for, like, a week, and
I didn't even think it was that long.
She's going monster mode.
Yeah, so it's like, if... Like, I think if Laurel knew about the pit last season and, like, saw that Thea was fine, then I would totally get it. But, like, now it just seems like such a bad idea. And there's definitely going to be consequences there, which is probably going to be a good chunk of Sarah's storyline. And it's definitely going to be interesting. Like, seeing her... God, her body is so creepy.
Yeah, like, they did a good job on that.
They did, but
I feel like it should be a little bit more decomposed, but I don't know.
Brian likes it a little bit more decomposed. But that was definitely disturbing. And it's kind of funny, not that, but like in the trailers, like in the trailer for this season, there's like a shot of her coming out of the pit. And like she's obviously looks way more alive than this. But, like, she looks kind of ghouly, you know, her eyes are kind of dead, and she looks kind of creepy. But, like, the Legends of Tomorrow one, she's, like, super glamorous and hot. Like, when she's jumping out of the pit, I'm like, where's that one? that's just kind of funny, like, the difference, like, the three differences between that. This is by far the creepiest one. But that was definitely disturbing. See, I thought she was going to open the grave and there was going to be nobody in there, and then that's why Nyssa was going to have it.
Oh, that would have been cool.
But I feel like it's going to be reversed where...
Her casket sucked. That's my takeaway this entire Arrow episode, is that Sarah's casket sucked shit.
She didn't even buy it from Blaine. I mean, how disrespectful is that? You gotta keep it in the CW family.
When do we get our great big Flaro Eye Zombie crossover?
I know, they already got Teabag on like three of the shows, so it works. But I think it's gonna be like reverse of what I thought with Nyssa maybe wanting to revive and then Laurel maybe pushing back. I think it might be reversed just because Nyssa probably knows more about the pit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously going to happen. We know it's going to happen. And like I said, I was surprised that the storyline moved so fast. I honestly thought it was going to be a few more episodes before we started to get into it. I haven't really looked at any episode titles or anything, but it looks like we're going to be moving into Sarah's resurrection arc and stuff pretty soon. And she'll be on probably for at least the first half reoccurring, because like, what's neat is that a lot of the storylines now are leading into Legends of Tomorrow. Like, we have Sarah coming back, and we're going to be having a Hot Girl pretty soon. Still sounds like Hot Girl. On Flash. And obviously, there was, like, these little, like, sizzle reel trailers for Flash and Arrow at New York Comic Con, and we got to see a little bit of when Felicity finds out Ray's alive. So we're going to have that to set up, and probably some stuff with Martin Stein as well. So like I'm really interested in all of that and how it's going to lead into Legends of Tomorrow. That's cool.
It's such a good time. Like
it really is. Like it's just it's
there's super so much exciting to look forward to.
I know, right? But as far as other stuff in the episode, we had like sort of Anarchy, which he was basically just kind of a generic villain of the week for me. Theo just wanted to light him right on fire. She's so crazy. I'm totally fine, Oliver. I can handle it. Into the fire! Like, Jesus, Thea.
She's Kaylee.
Oh, God. Thea's grown up Kaylee? So many midriff tops. But yeah, that whole storyline, I mean, we did have some stuff with Damian Dark, but it basically felt like sort of a story of the week thing. He did escape, and it looks like they're setting him up to come back later instead of just being a one and done. So there's that. Felicity was dealing with some corporate issues with what I'm going to call Blacklicity. because I've seen him in the trailers and stuff, so it looks like he's going to be part of her storylines there.
He's really fun.
Yeah.
I like his character so far.
I'm liking Felicity a lot better this season, too. I think they moved her back into, like, the likable Felicity territory.
So she stopped crying all the time. Pretty much. Like, that was all she did in season 3.
I was, like, surprisingly sort of interested in seeing her running the Palmer Tech, and I got a kick out of when she used BT Dubs. I thought that was a nice little touch. That was good. Also, the island flashback storyline is about basically the storyline is there's some soldiers there forcing people to do gardening work. Like, bitch, plant those flowers. We got a competition coming up. I gotta have the best whatever type of flowers there are. Roselias, that's a Pokemon.
It's just a very elaborate game of Animal Crossing.
Pretty much. They're playing Animal Crossing Happy Home. And they gotta get their scores up. So and they got rid of the terrible flashback wig, which has somehow gotten worse. Like, it looked fine in the first couple seasons. I was kind of surprised, though, because we know that when he gets rescued, he's got, like, super long hair and, like, a full-on, like, beard. So, like, that's why, you know, throughout the flashbacks, the hair kept getting longer and he kept growing the beard. So I was like, they're leading towards that. But now he looks, like, the same.
They just gave up. They're like, we'll just retcon.
I think Stephen Amell was just like, you know what? Fuck this wig. And then he just threw it at the writers. And then they're like, well, you know what? Maybe that was the ripple effect when Eddie killed himself. Oliver's hairstyle changed. Like, the universe collapsed and Oliver's hair went back. But I guess 2 years, I guess, could be long enough to grow it back to that length. I mean, obviously, that'll have to happen. But I really am unclear on what their motivation is. I mean, he killed a soldier and then had an IM chat about just killed a soldier. And Coulson was like, Coulson back on the town. Ollie's like, no way. So, it's funny, when he first started like typing on that little computer, I thought it was the dude's computer for a second. And like he's trying to figure out what to do. And he's like, on the ground? What's the haps?
Hello, are you there?
what's the deal here? So I don't know. It's too early to tell. I'm definitely curious, just because it seems so bizarre. Like, you just have these soldiers whipping people into doing gardening work. So I'm not entirely sure. So yeah, that was pretty much the biggest development there, is that is he got a haircut. I was kind of pleasantly surprised, though, that he infiltrated as a soldier instead of a slave. Yeah. Like, I thought they were definitely setting him up because he's like, oh, I'm going to tear my clothes, I'm going to be a slave, but it's like the opposite. So that was at least kind of like subverted what I was thinking was going to happen. What else?
Guy stepped on a landmine.
Ignore the stab wound. What else? Lance is still being the bee.
Oh, God.
He's been throwing a perpetual...
I've never liked him.
I liked him when he finally, like, stopped hating the arrow, like, in season 2, and then, like, they circled back to it.
Like, every time you're like, alright, I think you're okay, he just does some complete douchey thing.
Douche Nation! His favorite radio is Crazy Iron the Douche, actually. You know Captain Lance listens to that. What was I going to say? Like, he's forgiven Laurel, at least, but I hope when Sarah comes back that he mellows towards the rest of them. It's kind of gotten old, just because I totally got the anger at first, but, like, to keep going with it and essentially reverting back to almost what it was like in season 1, except he knows it's Oliver, it's just kind of annoying. Not too much else. Diggle, Dolly's still on the outs. It looks like next week might be progress, though, because Laurel and Thea are going to White Castle. So hopefully we can have some nice Dolly bonding. Yeah, next week should be interesting. I don't know if we're going to dive right into Sarah next week. We don't want to dive into her yet. She's not very fresh. But type in. but it'll be interesting to see. I don't have too much else left to say. Pokemon. Let's just enjoy the silence. Okay, iZombie, real quick. There's not like a whole lot to discuss, but I thought this was one of this series' funniest episodes.
This was like, great.
Like, all of the frat like personality stuff was a bit stereotypical, but it was still pretty funny.
I think how stereotypical it was is what made it funny.
Like one of my favorite parts was when, which I don't think anyone says WhatsApp anymore, but my favorite part was after that when she said, I just had a viz. I don't know why, that cracked me up. So like that stuff was just so funny. And but what I think was even funnier than that was Ravi and Major at the club. That made the episode for me. Like, them, like, dancing, and Ravi, like, taking his shirt off and dancing with the girls, and, like, them drunk, and he's like, you're all my bros. Who's ever on the phone with you is my bro. Like, that stuff was just, it was just gold. It was great. It was one of the funniest episodes of the series, for sure.
My brain just went into the bros.
It was really funny.
She does such a good job.
She really does. It's like, I feel like this one was more all the time. Like, sometimes she's herself for longer with like bits of it, and like this one it was like almost all the time. but she really does like do a good job of switching back and forth, and even like subtle little things, and it's just, it adds something different to look forward to each week amongst it. And I thought the mystery this week was kind of interesting, just for the fact that I didn't expect the resolution of it. Like, they straight up brought that guy in with the furry fetish, and I thought they ruled him out. And I thought it was just a funny thing, but it ended up being him because he killed the wrong dude. I loved when, like, her reactions to stories, like, when they were talking about, like, all this hazing they were doing, and she's just, like, laughing, or when that guy was talking about the guy that died, like, crashing the drunk driving seminar by showing up drunk, and, like, just the smile she had on her face when she was hearing about it. And, like, her wanting pictures of the first stuff.
Pictures.
Yeah.
And details.
Like, it was really funny. It was great.
I still can't, like, imagine how he doesn't think this is weird at this point.
Yeah, it's, like, every week she's got, like, a different personality, and I kind of hope he gets let in on it soon.
Like, it just seems so far-fetched that he doesn't think something's wrong with her at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. And, like, even just the vision thing's kind of a stretch, but the fact that she just acts so crazy. I think it's kind of funny that, like, this show has, like, multiple, like, buddy cop dynamics. Like, because you got her and, damn it, how am I forgetting his name?
Babinaw.
Yeah.
I forgot what his first name was.
Yeah, like, they have this, obviously, like, because he's a cop, but, like, that duo dynamic, and then she's got one with Robbie as well. Ravi. Ravi.
But he's, like, actually next in line to me, Firestorm.
That would be hilarious. But I think that's kind of interesting. That just reminded me, though, there was a funny part where when the frat guy called Liv up and he said that he got her number from some Jamaican guy in her office. And you know he was talking about Robbie. Oh, man. So good. It was just a fun episode. And Teabag was in it, too. And he was like, Elephant! Elephant!
Blaine's dicking around his dad.
Yeah, that's Teabag. And, like, he's also... fun. He's starting to... looks like set plans in motion to go after the Max Rager guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, blackmailing. It was, like, a DA or something? ADA? Something like that. So he's setting plans in motion, and it's interesting that he has to, like, put on zombie makeup. It's, like, the exact opposite of last time. What did he say? Something like... He said more something, less Casper's ass. For, like, describing the shade. It was funny. There was a bunch of... good moments in this episode. It was a lot of fun. It was like a prime example of why I enjoyed the show so much. So I'm definitely looking forward to more. I think that covers all the shows, doesn't it?
Yeah. Star Wars came back today, but none of us got to watch it, so.
I did, because I'm a good person. But no, we'll talk about it next week. We'll always be kind of a week behind, because it, like, airs, like, right before this comes out. It's like the season 2 re-premiere. Because they premiered the actual season 2 premiere in the middle of summer, and then they aired episode 2 now. That's exactly what I'm talking about, why Power Rangers has a consistent schedule. It's so random. Alright, now it's time for...
Tweet, tweet, motherfucker!
You know, that's right. Okay. So, our first question is from Aerosol, is about where George sits, since Aerosol did not get a chair when he was here. And the answer is that George wheeled in his own bed. Like, it was really, like, we started the podcast, all of a sudden we just hear this, something heavy moving across the floor. George is just wheeling in a bed, falls off it frequently. True story. We'll just be sitting there talking, all of a sudden, boop. And then cackling.
When George falls off his bed because Kevin's trying to get in.
Oh, God.
So, Kevin. You see, instead of you and Kevin having to share a chair, George and Kevin now have to share the bed. Because Kevin just wants to go to sleep.
Pretty much.
And so he pushes George out of the bed.
So, it all ties together.
Also, I really like the term, rockin' Kevin's lap.
Is he rocking Kevin's lap too? Oh, that's good. So yeah, just to clarify that, George brought his own... He brings notes and his own bed.
Kevin broke his chair, actually.
Aerosol's chair?
Yeah.
We bought Aerosol a chair, but Kevin had a freak out and he broke it.
He Hulk smashed. Alright. Kevin smashed or someone. I don't know. I failed this joke.
Somebody smashed. And then our second question is our George question of the week, which I believe we chose. What is your favorite fast food restaurant, I think it was?
Yes.
Okay. So you can lead that one off.
You know, I'm the one that agreed to this. You'd think I would have formulated an answer by now. We've recorded the show for nearly 2.5 hours. You'd think I would have an answer.
Just think about how the different food tastes and compare in your mind.
I have to give my mad homeboy props to...
It's getting street youth on us.
to Steak and Shake. It's so good. It's everything you want in a tiny, thin-ass burger of deliciousness. Like, I didn't sell that good, but don't take it from me. You gotta go eat it. It's really good.
And Jorge worked there.
Yeah.
Or was it Julio? I don't remember.
It was Jorge.
I never saw him again.
I haven't seen him in forever.
It was a one-night stand.
You put the cheese in the bag.
Just pour the cheese right in my mouth and then give me some in the bag for taking home. We haven't done a road trip in forever. The last time we did a road trip, you were in Louisiana.
Yeah, that's true. That's when we saw the gas station. That's so good. Fucking Louisiana gas stations.
You gotta be on the ready for that apocalypse.
Outside of Steak and Shake, I don't know. They're all just so okay. I think I probably eat at McDonald's the most, just because they're everywhere, and I can usually eat pretty cheap at McDonald's. Anyway, go ahead.
And they serve breakfast all day now. Mine is probably, I always like, hate these answers, but a tie between Steak and Shake and Carl's Jr. Because they're like two different types of burgers.
I wish I ate there more. There's a Hardee's that's a couple miles down the road from me, and I never really go down that way too often, so I never really get to stop there. But every time I've ate at Hardee's, it's always been really good. So.
Like, they're both different types of burgers. Like, the Carl's Jr. ones are like those charbroiled burgers, and the Steak and Shake ones just have that really good, like, hamburger beef flavor. So it's like, it depends on what you're in the mood for, but they're both places are so good, and like, Carl's Jr. has really good fries. They're both the regular and the criss-cut fries, which I almost always accidentally say crisscross fries. And like, Steak and Shake also has really good shakes, obviously from the name. So both of them are really good. So I like both pretty much equally. And I still have yet to journey to White Castle. I thought for sure it was going to be in California.
I've been on the like biggest fucking White Castle kick, and I have no fucking idea why.
It's because like, Harold.
First of all.
Three first of all. Good thing.
First of all. No, they're fucking White Castle's mozzarella sticks are the greatest shit ever. Like, I go to fucking normal ass restaurants like Applebee's and shit, and they don't even got near as good mozzarella sticks as fucking White Castle does.
They stand at the top of being mozzarella sticks.
They do.
Like the original Aunt May does.
At the top of mozzarella sticks. I've yet to have a mozzarella stick that's as good as White Castle. It's just like there's the perfect amount of like crisp. As in not very, because I don't like crispy mozzarella sticks. But the cheese is gooey and stretchy, and it does that stupid thing where like you bite it and it's just like a trail of cheese, and it's fucking good. And then I eat their double cheeseburgers, and those are fucking good. And then sometimes I just eat a lot of single cheeseburgers, and those are good. Everything's good.
Now I'm just getting hungry again.
God, I want to go to White Castle.
That ramen and egg McMuffin, man.
No matter what house I lived at, there's no, like, directly nearby White Castle. It pisses me off.
There's definitely no one near me. This is obnoxious.
I complain about that, and the closest White Castle, I think, is only 2 miles. No, it's 2 miles, probably about 4 or 5 miles, which is not far.
They need to get one here.
I still bitch about it. They need to expand everywhere, because...
They need to expand Steak and Shake here, too, because there's only, I think, two here right now that I can get to, and both of them are, like, 30 minutes away. Or one of them's, like, 40, I think. But, and what's shit is that there was, like, a big thing maybe a year ago that, like, the first location that opened here, like, the people that bought the franchise, like, tried to take it over or something, and, like, there was, like, it was, like, a takeover, and they're, like, this is our Steak and Shake, and they were doing like all these things that against Steak and Shake policies, and like they had this huge legal battle with Staldom, and like I read an article in the paper about it, and it said something like they had plans for like all these locations of Steak and Shake, and one of them was like here in A-Town, and like they're still yet to see anything about that. I think it got delayed because of that stupid hostile takeover of Steak and Shake. They should make a Lifetime movie about the hostile takeover of Steak and Shake.
I'd watch it.
So would I. It would make me hungry. I have to eat Steak and Shake while you're eating it. I still gotta try that black burger just out of curiosity.
Aerosol told me it was awful and I just never bothered.
What's funny about it is the first time I saw like that concept from Burger King, it was like a Darth Vader burger in Japan or something.
Yeah, it was something. It was in Japan. The one that they had in Japan was black because of squid ink.
Oh,
is what it was, because it was like some worse. Squid Whopper thing.
Squopper.
And so their black bun was because there was squid ink in it.
Oh.
I'm still trying to figure out why typically red A1 sauce would cause the bun to be black, but anyway.
I have no idea, but I just got it out of curiosity. They need to bring back Cheesy Tots, though, for real. If they can like commission McDonald's to do all-day breakfast finally after years of waiting, and them to finally then bring back chicken fries, which aren't even the same now. They need to bring back...
Burger King is just a bunch of fucking dicks.
They've done a bunch of questionable things.
Like, their chicken fries are literally their dicks.
They changed them, though. They're not the same. It's kind of like they changed their chicken nuggets to be, like, knockoff McDonald's chicken nuggets instead of what they used to be different.
Exactly. They're fucking shit-ass. Like, I'm just, like, slurring... swears together to try
Brian's
to describe
drunk off Burger King.
Burger King. Like, no, there is, I don't think there is a fast food company that pisses me off more than Burger King. Like, they released this black fucking Whopper, and it's like, oh, look at the black Whopper, it's spooky. And, like, that's dumb. It was like when Heinz tried to do green ketchup.
Oh, just, God, don't even. That. They have, like, purple, too, for a while.
Don't fuck with me. Things have their colors. Don't fuck it up. The buns are brown. The ketchup's red. You don't fuck with that. It's the circle of life, the balance of everything. It moves us all. Don't fucking mess with it.
I want a shirt that says the buns are brown, the ketchup is red. It's the circle of life. Amazing.
They changed their chicken nuggets to be, or chicken, do they still call them chicken tenders, or do they call them chicken nuggets now again?
I have no idea.
They used to be chicken tenders, but anyway.
I used to like their chicken tenders.
They were great, and then now they're just, I think that McDonald's and Burger King are from the same place now.
And what's funny, it's kind of like with the Carl's Jr. Steak and Shake thing, is they're both like the same thing, but they tasted different, so depending on what I was in the mood for, I get chicken nuggets from McDonald's or chicken tenders from Burger King, but now they're the same thing, so it doesn't make a difference. It's obnoxious.
The chicken fries are different, not that I really cared about the chicken fries in the first place, and the fucking Cheesy Tots are gone, and they're never coming back, and they were gone for like 5 years, and then they're like, here they are, they're back again, and I'm like, ah, and then they're gone again.
They don't even have the confetti tots.
I those lasted, I think, like 2 months, maybe.
They were very short. Because I never got to try them, because I saw them on the menu, and I'm like, oh, when I come back, I'll try them. And then I went back, and they were gone. So it was very short.
Restaurants that have limited time things are the bane of my existence. Because those limited time things are the things that I fall in love with.
This is like a really random thing to actually really liked, but I really liked the McDonald's fish bites. I know it's like the same thing as the sandwich, but there was like something about the bites.
Well,
I just liked getting
bite
them.
Form. It's different.
Exactly.
Even if it tastes the same, you're digesting it in a different manner. The difference between chicken nuggets and a chicken sandwich. They're both chicken. They're both probably the same fucking like source of chicken, But it's just you're digesting them differently. It tastes different.
Like, I don't know why, but I just, like, loved the shit out of those, and I ate them all the time. And, like, they stopped making them. And I think I asked about it one time, and they're like, oh, it's seasonal. It'll come back. And I think it was, like, the January through March block or whatever, and then they never came back again. And then I cried. Moment of silence for McFish Bites.
I'm having a moment of silence for the Cheesy Tots. Like, those were so good. Like, they were the fucking best goddamn fast food thing I've ever had in my life.
They were really
and
good.
And they just totally just fucked it goddamn over. And I...
They're
like,
there.
They got rid of those, and, like, Arby's dicks around with me on when they have the King Hawaiian Roll and when they don't. And, like, fucking Hawaiian rolls are the shit. You put, like, Arby's roast beef and some cheese sauce on that shit, and it's delish.
Or just cheese sauce. Just
no.
By itself.
They're like, oh, we don't have it anymore, and now they brought it back because they have, like, the King Hawaiian BLT, and now apparently they said the bun's there to stay. I don't know. I don't trust the stupid douche behind the counter at Arby's, so I have no idea if it's there for sure, but it's... I want to be able to go to Arby's and go, I want a big roast beef, large or whatever the fuck they call it, on a Hawaiian roll with cheese sauce, and I want to receive it.
I want to receive it.
I don't want to have no shit that's like them going, oh, we don't have that bun anymore, sir. You need to order something else. And then I have to order the Angus 3 cheese and bacon.
They talk so
properly. That's really good. But
we don't have that, sir.
We don't have that, sir. Well, you're a douche. But... So there's that, and when I was in college, Taco Bell, it was before I was in college, Taco Bell had, a cheesy beefy melt. It was literally just beef and a whole fuck lot of cheese.
They bring that back
and
every now and then, though,
they steamed it, so the cheese was nice and melty, and it was great. It was my favorite thing. I could order, like, 12 of them, and I didn't have to get any of them special. I just straight up just was like, cheesy beefy melt, just hook me up. And... Then,
I'm tweaking.
Then they got rid of it, and I got fucking pissed. I had to resort to just, like, a normal beef burrito with extra cheese, and that costs, like, 5 times more than the fucking cheesy beefy melt did, and it pissed me off. But then they brought it back as, it was the same exact fucking thing, but they switched the name around. It was like a... melty beef. Cheese beef. Something.
Cheese beef.
It was the same thing, though. And I was like, oh, great, it's the same thing. And then they got rid of that. And they've, like, yet to do anything remotely close to that. Now they keep bringing back that triple steak stack every now and then, and that's really fucking good, even though they steam that, and it makes the steak, like, steak juices go all over the flatbread, and that makes the flatbread really super soggy, and it's kind of gross. So if you don't eat it right away, it just becomes really disgusting.
It's like
that's really good.
Speed eating training.
Now my Taco Bell order is a steak quesadilla, because that's just where I'm at in life. It changes every now and then, but, like, Taco Bell gets rid of all their things that I like, and Arby's does every now and then, and... The moral of the story that I've rambled on for several minutes now, because food is a very passionate part of my life.
Just carry all items at all times.
Particularly of the fast food, is that don't dick around with my feelings.
Because the buns are brown, the ketchup is red, and that's the circle of life.
Exactly. You put something on that menu, and I order it, and I like it, you keep it there.
What's funny about the cheesy beefy melt is that, oh, Jesus, Brian, like, dropped the mic, is that you know they have the ingredients. It's
yeah,
not
absolutely.
Like, I guess you could say with Cheesy Tots, oh, it's probably a separate order
cheesy,
of frozen.
Yeah, Cheesy Tots, they don't have, obviously.
And, like, the fish bites, unless they just, like, took a knife to their, like, there's certain things that are obvious, like, you know, special, you know, order or make, but, like, they have plenty of beef and cheese. That's, like, 99% of the ingredients for all, or 99% of their menu is that. So it's not like they're out of it. So it's, like, ridiculous that you would essentially have to pay more to special order something that they could just make if they made it a regular menu item.
Like, Cheesy Tots were a thing because, like, they were they were distributed through Heinz, not like through Burger King or something like that. So when their deal with Heinz was over for that, they like never re-signed it. And I guess the Heinz was like, dude, try it again. And then they fucked around with me again. But like things like Taco Bell's in particular is what get me. Taco Bell special shit is always like stuff they already have. Like you can go into Taco Bell and make a triple steak stack by ordering a steak flatbread thing. Just you have to get like triple the steak and like triple the cheese. But at that point, what you're ordering is like $8 or some shit, and the triple steak stack was like only $4. And so you to order what you wanted that was special, you'd have to pay like 2 to 3 times the price because you have to special order everything and add extra this and extra that, and it's a pain in the ass. And like I said, Circle Life. Look what you did, George.
That one question caused so much pain.
Now I'm hungry and hurt. And I'm extra hurt, so I'm extra hungry.
He's still in pain from that glass injury from the beginning of the show.
I think I chipped my tooth.
Oh, jeez, I've done that.
Like, not severely, but enough to, like, kind of be an asshole about it.
How do you be an asshole about chipping a tooth?
Don't ask.
Okay.
Anyway, cut me off before I go on again.
All right, now it's time for...
Final thing is MP3.
Final things!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
No one's going to get to hear how disheartened that was. So keep sending in your questions with the hashtag TTMF. Just try not to upset Brian and be like...
Don't make them about fast food anymore.
Just don't be like, hashtag TTMF, cheesy tots, Brian tears. So just... keep sending in those questions. We appreciate all those that send in stuff. Like we mentioned pretty much every week, if we even read it this week, that doesn't mean it's gone for all time. It's just we only answer a couple of weeks or a couple of questions a week because we don't want to turn into that time where we answer 20 questions like an episode. So, yeah. Until next time, remember that the buns are brown and ketchup is red, and that's the circle of life.